B-Pod Studios.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Tuesdays at all across the Delaware Valley. Buzz Radio with the Chunas, and let's get to it. So, the MVP and the star, right? The whole thing. Last night, NBA TV was airing Sixers Nuggets. And, you know, you had a report from the New York Times was there. You had ESPN. So, you had all this stuff. People looking forward to seeing Jokic versus Embiid in the second matchup. Remember the matchup here a couple of weeks ago, where Joe dominated and the Sixers won, and this was the rematch. Well, as you know, as he's got a calf that's been an issue, and he does not play in the game because of the calf issue. And right away, it's like, oh, he doesn't show up. He's ditching Jokic. This is ridiculous. First of all, the Sixers' priority right now is for Embiid and Harden to be healthy. All right? I'm actually proud of Embiid for not putting himself and the MVP award over the being healthy and having to play. Like, let's be real here for a second. You know, it's the third game in four nights on a road trip in Denver, where altitude is an issue. So I have no problem that he goes, listen, you know, the two seeds out of it. You know, we just got to get healthy for the playoffs. Everything's about the playoffs right now. Everything, in my eyes, is the playoffs. And it's doing whatever you can to get out of the second round. We already know that it's going to be difficult playing Boston without a home court. And those two have to be healthy. I mean, that's the bottom line. I know that Harden was a late scratch yesterday, and I get it, all right? I understand that we all wanted to see the showdown. And, you know, here's the issue. The real truth of the matter is the league screwed up. This whole league, they need to tweak the league and figure out how to make the regular season matter again. Because this has been going on for, you know, years now. We've had this discussion about how the NBA regular season has been rendered meaningless because of the playoffs. And so if there is he's got a calf strain, and, you know, I wanted to be healthy for the playoffs. So do I want to see him play last night? Yeah, of course. I really did. I wanted to see him play, and I wanted to see him dominate, and, you know, he's been playing out of his mind. He's not ducking and Jokic. I mean, it's ridiculous to think that he's ducking Jokic. It's absurd. The dude, he's got to be healthy. They got to win, man. This isn't about awards or anything else. And I want to have a two-pronged discussion today. One, which is, you know, how to fix the league. Because, again, there's a real issue here. It's the third game in four nights on a road swing. And, you know, we're now the end of March. The playoffs are around the corner. And, look, they owe it to the fans to have a run in the playoffs. And that means they got to be healthy. We already know. We've seen this before about whether it's Joel or Harden last year not being healthy and, you know, what that does to this team. So, I mean, that's a big deal. So, but of course, the national pundits make it out that Embiid is ducking Jokic. Listen, the last time they played, Embiid dominated. And it's ridiculous. Well, here's a column from the Denver Post that I'm going to read you. A guy named Sean Keeler writes this. He quotes a Philly fan, all right? And then he says, well, good luck, pal. especially with the last one, MVP are for dudes that show up. They show up on the road. They show up at sea level. They show up at altitude. They show up big where they're loved. They show up even bigger where they're despised. NBA TV showed up Monday night. The New York Times showed up. ESPN. Nikola Jokic showed up, dropping yet another triple-double for the haters to chew on in a 116-111 Nuggets win. But when High Noon at Mile High came, and what was billed as a showdown between the top two centers in the league, Embiid was nowhere to be found. The real Embiid, anyway. The only place you could find a Sixers 21 jersey in blue or white or red at Ball Arena was in the stands or on the concourse for Philly fans. And so, you know, they take their obligatory shot. And that's what a home columnist in Denver will do, because it's all about Jokic there, and it's all about, you know, and it's funny, haters. You know, if anything, Embiid's the one that gets the lion's share of hate. And the truth of the matter is, you know what? As much as I would say I would love for him to play, and I would love for the showdown, because I love the game, I need the Sixers to get out of the second round. So we already knew about this calf. And we already knew what the schedule looked like. And you know where they're at when it comes to the seed. I don't know what else to say other than that it's the right decision not to play. Because ultimately, it's about the playoffs. And, yeah, I wish it were different. And I wish, you know, the league was shaped differently. And, you know, he was able to go. But it is about the playoffs. And until that changes, I mean, you know, bleep the MVP award, quite frankly. And, you know, it is what it is. It's not like, you know, the guy, you know, Embiid's not afraid of Jokic. I mean, it's ridiculous, right? Like, we already saw the head-to-head matchup before. But right away, because of this, in a league that is rampant for it, who gets the bullets? The Philadelphia player gets the bullets. And this is par for the course. This is par for the course when it comes to the Philadelphia assassination. Kendrick Perkins. Embiid is ducking that smoke. You cannot sit out this game. And then he does this whole thing. Joel Embiid is ducking that smoke. We know how much it means to him for him to win the award. When it comes down to these matchups, I have a vote. I'm going to remember this moment. Basically saying he's going to vote for Jokic. And here's my response. Vote for Jokic. You want him to be the MVP, vote for him. You think he's the MVP, vote for him. To me, it's about this Sixer team's got to win. And whatever I got to do to preserve it, go ahead. But right away, it's an attack on Embiid. When Embiid hasn't been a load management. He's been there every game. If you really want to look and look at the MVP, look at what he's giving you every night, night in, night out. I can't make, because he doesn't play, because he's got a bum calf, and you can say excuse, no excuse, I just want to win the playoffs. So I can't get behind this stuff. And the whole world is against us, and that's how it's always going to be. Good morning, Chunas.
How are you ducking someone if the last time you faced up with each other, you scored 47 points and grabbed 18 rebounds? Do they actually think that Embiid's afraid of Jokic after he almost had 50 and 20?
Apparently, every reporter, national pundit there,
he almost had Shaq prime numbers, 50 and 20 against Jokic last time. But he's ducking him, which is the weirdest thing. It's a West Coast trip.
I read you the whole column in the Denver Post.
Well, that guy's a loser, and it's funny. We have a guy listening right now. Who tweeted at the station. His name's Kevin. Just tuned in. Epic spinning going on as I type. You guys should throw a belt on the spin and generate electricity. I click on Kevin. He's not even from around here, Ant. He's from out west. He's a Nuggets fan. He is tuning in just to hear our reaction to Embiid not playing last night. They hate the guy for some weird reason. We here in Philadelphia respect Nikola Jokic. He's a good ball player. But what Joel Embiid is doing, we like a lot of guys haven't seen this before. He had that game earlier this season, not against the Nuggets, where he had a stat line that we hadn't seen since Wilt. Like, why is this something that we all of a sudden ignore? The guy's been tremendous all season long. Am I upset as a basketball fan that March 27th, 2022, I did not see Embiid v. Jokic? At the time, I was upset. But as a Sixers fan who wants to see them make a run in the playoffs, wouldn't I be more upset if that calf never healed up? And then all of a sudden he's not right for the playoffs and they lose in the first or second round again? No, I'd be fuming. So I'm happy they didn't play last night. Was I bummed at the moment? Of course I was bummed at the moment.
Here's the thing for the Nugget fan, all right? Because the bottom line is it's not an MVP award, all right? And the bottom line is this team needs to win, and he needs to stay and remain healthy. That's the fact of the matter. And by the way, well, how could you ignore the first game?
Yeah.
How could you think, seriously, how could you actually think that Embiid's ducking?
15-20.
What's he ducking from?
47-18, man.
What's he ducking from? I mean, that's nonsense. That's ridiculous. Because the guy in Denver knows the Nuggets ain't winning squat either, right? So I don't want to hear anything. What are the Nuggets going to win? Ain't winning nothing, all right? Nothing. So I don't want to hear this nonsense. You call it spin or whatever you would call it. You're not from here. You don't know what's going on here. And by the way, did you watch the last time they played? So if you think that guy's afraid of Jokic, that's ridiculous and nonsensical. But go ahead, bring it on, because the whole NBA world is now shooting arrows at Embiid. So here's my response. Bleep y'all. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. We've got a lot to do. We got a lot to get up, get on. I mean, we got a lot of stuff to do. Obviously, the Embiid stuff we'll get to. Jeff McClain will join us to talk some birds. We want to go. We got some Philly stuff because opening day's around the corner. And an ode to a movie character today. All right? It's Cuz Ready with the Tune. It's just getting started on a Tuesday.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
10 o'clock hour brought to you by Window Nation. Take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on all style windows. Plus, make no down payment with no payments and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. All right. Welcome back. Cuz Radio Chunis. I can't believe this nonsense, man. It's ridiculous. All of a sudden now, Embiid, who dominated Jokic, is what? He's afraid? I mean, give me a break. This is absurd. They got to win. It's time to win a title. It's not about the MVP and all this nonsense about this ridiculous MVP award, which is completely. And look, I'll raise my hand. I'm guilty and I'm a hypocrite because I've talked about it. All right? And I probably talked about it too much. So I'll raise my hand and say this is ridiculous. It's nonsense that all we're doing, that this dominates the conversation all year long. One of the real issues, again, is the regular season is completely devalued. And since when you're locked in the seeds, and since it's next to impossible to try to get the two seed, what are you doing? If you're banged up, you got to get healthy. Because you got no chance to win if Embiid is gimpy or tired or whatever, and Harden's Achilles is barking. Those guys need to be healthy. I mean, that's what it's about. It's 5 years. They got to get out of the second round. It's not about MVP and some Monday night game in Denver because NBA TV's there. Give me a freaking break, Junis.
Yeah, I mean, what are you going to do? Hang up MVP in the rafters? Like, that's great and all. I take pride in our players performing well, but I'd rather see a championship banner go up there than Embiid winning the MVP. And I'm sure most Nuggets fans would want that too, but they don't see it that way. They think that their team's good, and quite frankly, they'll probably lose in the second round. They're probably going through what we were going through the last couple of years, and enough is enough for us. We don't want to see that anymore. We want to see the next step. So go ahead. Good. If you guys want to throw a parade for Jokic, go for it. But by the way, it's just so funny.
Paul Reed, by the way. Jokic is such a great defender.
Paul Reed played well.
Right? That Paul Reed, who, God bless the kid, right? But, you know, he just can't play the game. He's still learning how to play the game. Right? Paul Reed had 16 points last night, shot 7-for-7 at 9 boards. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I mean that's ridiculous. And again, I keep on going back to it. Kendrick Perkins, who by the way has been an Embiid backer up until last night, apparently.
I know.
Saying he's ducking that smoke. And for everybody that's saying he was afraid.
What's he ducking?
He almost had 50 and 20 last game. And just attacked Jokic the entire time. That's what I don't get. You know, if he went if he shot 4 of 16 and scored 15 points and had 10 rebounds the last time they faced each other, and the Nuggets won on home court, on the Sixers court, and then he doesn't play against them last night. Do I go, oh, maybe there's something there to it? Maybe, probably still not. But the fact that he dominated him last time, how can that be your reaction?
I mean, it's utterly stupid. It's stupid. Like, he's played, right? Not like he hasn't played. He played through the calf. Friday night against Golden State, he scored, 46?
Yes.
Friday night? All right. Then he plays this back-to-back against Phoenix and has to roll because of the calf, right? Still played 32 minutes against the Suns, right or wrong?
Yeah,
played
sure
32
did.
Minutes, all right? Gives you 28-10. I mean, we for real?
Yeah, I mean,
so now you're going to break his stones for not playing third game in 4 nights when, you know, it's the playoff run and it is what it is because of an MVP? Get the hell out of here. It's nonsense.
Yeah, it's like he didn't make his case the last 2 games. It's just so funny. I mean, the guy just has been balling out all season long and you're going to hold it up to this one matchup. It's ridiculous. And, you know, whatever. It's like it goes back to us a couple years ago now. Succeeding from the United States and having the lawn to Philadelphia, man.
It's the truth. They just come at us and come at us and come at us. You know, in freaking Denver. Oh, my God. Please. For real? Come on, guys. Nonsense. All right, let's get back to the phone lines. Or let's open the phone line. 610-632-0975. Damon gets it started. What do you say, Big Dane?
Hey, cuz. Good morning. Good morning, Junis.
What's up, my brother?
How you guys doing, all right?
Good, buddy.
Yeah, man. So all I have to say is January the 28th, all right? 47-17, I believe, 6 or 7 blocks. Are you kidding me? And for Perkins, the hot taker, to make that comment, that's ridiculous. And this is what I think happened, cuz I think when yesterday, whatever shoot around, and they said to him, let's just rest, because they know as well as we do, he plays hard. He would have gone hard at that guy last night, right? They said, look, let's just settle, let's get this calf right, don't worry about it. And the media made it out to seem as if this matchup was going to prove who's going to be the MVP. It's already proven to me. And for these people that want to give Jokic what I call the AMVP, the analytics MVP, he can have that because that's all it is, okay? Last night's game, when the third-string unit rallies with a comeback with most of their starters, most of Denver starters in the game, that's all you need to know, cuz. Jokic looks sluggish. He looks sluggish in the fourth quarter, okay? So don't give me that this – listen – great player, but I'm gonna say it. He can't hold Joe's jockstrap. He can't. He just can't. A lot of people, yes, nice player, triple doubles, fine. But the guy plays one side of the court. I've seen Joe night in and night out block shots, run down the court, get the ball and score, or get the ball and pass. And for people who want to constantly move and thrust through the regular season, you're missing the show. You're missing the show. This guy is amazing to watch. And for analytics to try to take over, it's ridiculous, man. So, listen, he doesn't have anything to prove to anybody else other than, like you said, because we have to get out of the second round. I'm okay with resting so that we can get this stretch run. Hopefully he and Harden comes back tomorrow so we can start our new winning streak and move forward. But this is crazy, guys. This is crazy.
It is. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Again, you know, you could cry. Oh, no, and the altitude, he shows up in the Listen, it's three games of four nights. All right, we got the playoffs coming on. Whether it's, you know, do I think that he is, his legs falling off? No, but we all understand that the last thing you could do is risk it. And here's the thing about Embiid. You know he wants to stick it up Jokic's rear end anyway, right? Like, the one thing he always does is show up against a Jokic.
That's my point. Because they know, had he played last night, he would have gone hard at him, no holds barred, and put it all out there. And so why risk that, right, for one game, for, like you said, NBA TV and all these it's to the point now, it's a joke to me, because when if for people, and let me say this, yesterday you said people were calling or trade Embiid. I would love if you and Tunis could hook up a show or call us and go ahead and call us. For the people who make those, first of all, I'm tired of people calling him heartless. The guy had a broken face and a broken finger last year, okay? You try that. You try putting up 33 points a night, 10 rebounds, and several blocks a game. You try anchoring that defense night in and night out. A quarter of you couldn't do that. So for people who want to make those comments, you're not watching the game. You're reading stats. That's all you're doing. Like you and I, cuz, I like reading box scores. You like reading box scores. But here's an addition to that. You and I watch the game. We watch the game. These people aren't watching the game. They're reading box scores or highlights on YouTube and all of a sudden making judgments. You're missing the show, folks.
Yes.
You're missing the show.
Yes. Yes. I'm with you, buddy. I'm with you.
By the way, even if you were just watching box scores, you couldn't go wrong with Embiid's.
I know.
It's 40 points every night.
It's
40, 10, and 6 every night.
I know.
So even if you were just doing box scores, but he's right. There's people that just, you can't win with them.
Yes.
What makes you say that? Like, I know you talk to guys all the time that say they're not going to win with them. What is the actual reason? Just you can't put an offense around him? Is that all it is?
Dude, I mean, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Let's go to Nigel. You're on 97.5, the Fanatic. Hello, Nigel.
What's up? I'm Tunis. What's going on, man? How y'all feeling?
What's going on, buddy?
Listen, man, you know I always call my Eagles take, but I'm tired of this Embiid disrespect that's been going on since damn near he entered the league, man. Like, I don't understand how he's scared of Jokic, but every time we see them play each other, like, he's dominating.
I know.
It's just,
I know.
Like, seriously, like Perkins, out of all people, like, he's been riding the Embiid train all season, but since he didn't, it's like, man, you keep beating up somebody, it's like, you're going to get tired of beating them up. You know what I'm saying? It's like, that, and that's what it was last night. It's like you said, I'm ready for the playoffs. I just want these guys to be healthy and for them to just throw that stuff out there like he's scared of Jokic. Just like, bro, did y'all watch the past couple games that they played against each other? Every time they played, Embiid owns them, papers and all. You know, and as far as these Philly fans that want to trade him and everything, man, they'd be the same ones complaining when we don't have anything to cheer about. It's like, I don't understand. Y'all want to trade our best player and just be mediocre for what? I don't get it, man. We in the business of winning championships, not trading our best players and putting them down. Like, you know what I'm saying? And I'm just tired of that, man. I just wanted to speak on that. And, you know, you guys have a good day, man.
I feel you, brother. Thank you, man. I do. I feel you on it. It's ridiculous. Sheila, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Hello, Sheila.
Hey, morning. Good morning, Ann. Listen.
Good morning, Sheila.
You know how passionate we are as Philly fans, right? You know, we basically ride or die. You know that's how we are, right?
Yeah.
There's another side to us Philly fans too. And that's the side that Jason Kelce was singing about. We don't care. You know what I mean? All of that crazy talk and petty talk and we don't care. We just keep it moving, right? So last night, Maxie and a bunch of guys almost beat them. Period. Maxie and a bunch of guys. And the prior caller said they had their starters out there. What does that tell you?
I know.
I mean, come on. Maxie and some guys. They almost beat y'all. So just cut that out. And the other thing is, Joel showed more maturity, professionalism, team spirit by doing what he did than I've seen him do in a long time. The guy is growing up. And that is what's going to get us past where we always go. And the fact that James Harden is sitting out is good. Listen, James is 85 years old. I'm being facetious. We need him to sit down, too. So our best players were exactly where they needed to be, sitting. You know, we know what we're doing over here in Philly. We got this. But Maxie,
I just want to go back to what you said, which is I see it the same way, which is, again, it's not about the idea of MVP or individual stuff. It really is about, you know, he knows he has to win. He's trying to get and you can see it. You see his play is different. His play is not selfish. It's not, you know, self-aggrandizing. It's there to try to, he wants to win. You can see it. I feel it from him. I really do.
No, he's a different guy, period, this season. I mean, really, because a lot of that, that behavior stuff, it got on my nerves. A lot of that moping, but he has grown up. And let me tell you something. It's a lot of people at 45, 50 years old who can't grow up like that. It's the fact that he has grown up. He's only 29. He's really in it to win it. I mean, like, that is admirable. And we're in this thing, like I said, to win it. But was that or was that not the Maxie show last night? Did he not look like AI?
Yeah.
Oh, so good.
I know. There are times when he does remind you of him because he plays with like a joy, you know? He plays with a joy.
Oh, my goodness. My son texted me last night, and he said, Mom, he said, Maxie is just a good basketball player, ain't he? He is. He's just a good basketball player. And I love you.
I love you too, Sheil. Good stuff. Thank you. I mean, you know, Chunas, like, the one thing you can't argue is that he's been busted at both ends of the floor. He's seen a lot of different defenses against him. And, you know, I think he's played just really exceptional ball.
Yeah, and here's the thing. The people that aren't watching the games, right, whether it's people that just hate on Embiid or if you just go outside of the city, right? You know, the columnist for the Denver Nuggets is not watching Joel Embiid because he's watching Nikola Jokic. He's watching the team he covers, right? So he doesn't say it. There was the game weeks ago, the Grizzlies coming out of the All-Star break. Embiid did not really have that great of a game, at least the first three quarters, but still found a way to impact the game in a way that they could still win. And then in the fourth quarter, you know, he hits his free throws because what big man goes to this free throw line and is lethal like he is, right?
Right.
So he's still able to find a way to play well in the game, well enough to help them win, and played some great defense, had some great defensive moments, was able to help free things up for James Harden. Just the way that he plays, even if he's not having the best night, he can still impact the way the game for them to win. And we've seen that all season long. They have 49 wins this year, dude.
That's amazing, isn't it?
Oh, Nikola Jokic and the Nuggets. They only have 51. They got two more wins than them. Two.
Dude, I mean, you got to be kidding me. With that whole, and it was amazing because, and listen, my man Anthony's right. My boy Anthony Hobson on Instagram sends me a note, and he's like, dude, he goes, you know, we're the most sensitive fan base out there. All right, maybe. So what? Like, Yeah, do I think the mantra of they don't like us and we don't care? We kind of care, but who cares about that? So be it. I mean, we're prideful. What's lost in translation that we are a prideful fan base. And it's within our right. It's kind of what we do that, you know, when we feel that one of our players or, you know, our town is under attack, then we rise up and we're vocal about it, Junis.
Yeah, we are, because we do take pride in it. And again, I'm with you. I would rather have the title. But if you're going to start taking shots at Embiid, shots that aren't warranted, and try to make a case as to why he shouldn't win MVP, I'll have my backup with that, too. Because it's not true. None of it is true. Everything that they say about Embiid is not true. Ducking Nikola Jokic after almost having 50 and 20 against him the last time is it's a ridiculous statement to make. It is so ridiculous.
I know.
Like, he had Shaq numbers against Jokic. Shaq in his prime. He was Shaq 2001.
Exactly.
And you're saying he's ducking him for what?
Exactly. It drives me insane. It's unbelievable. It really is. Are you kidding me? But of course, you know, this is how it all plays out. Like, this is what happens. It really is true. Brandon, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Brand.
Cuz, what's going on?
What's up, buddy?
Jonas, how you doing, man? So, to say he is afraid of Joker, it is such a bad take, cuz. Like, if Joel Embiid stopped today, if he didn't play another game all season, he's my MVP already, okay? To me, he was MVP last year. So, but to be honest with you, cuz, I don't even care about the MVP. And the fact that he set last night kind of shows me, Embiid don't care neither, okay? It's about winning in the playoffs. It's about getting out the second round. Soon as I'm with you, your guy puts up 50 and 20 on you, there's no way he's ducking you. And to act like this isn't today's NBA, first of all, one of the biggest guys in the league just played two nights before that. He played each game. He sat on the third game of a three-night back-to-back. Every superstar in the league probably would have done that, no matter the situation. So for an NBA player to get up there and say that he's ducking or because he didn't amuse the fans and go out there in a game, I mean, I don't want to say we didn't need it, but to me, a win or a loss there didn't move the needle, okay?
Right, right.
So what are we talking about? This year, last couple years, I think you could have argued it, but this year I feel as though we truly have the best player in the NBA, okay? The best, bar none. He just plays the most physical, the most dominant, and he's putting it all together. I'm glad he's set. I'm glad he's set. I'm glad he didn't play. And it's an idiotic take to make, especially when you were a former player in the league.
I know. But again, you know what that is? That's all the hot take. I mean, that's what that is. Let's be real here.
Because we're trying to get out of the second round. We're trying to
exactly.
get out of the second round. And that's what sitting him last night told me. Okay? We're on board. We're on the same page as a city, as a team. We are trying to get out of the second round. You let Joker have another MVP that to me he really...
Not for nothing, but Giannis, who gets no mention of the MVP, Bucks are going to get the one seed, right?
You tell me one superstar that probably would have played last night on a three.
Exactly.
You tell me one.
Exactly.
One guy that a superstar that would have played on that third game. This is the league we're watching today.
I know. Brother, you're right on, man. You're right on. All right, sit tight. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. That's how you reach us. Cuz Radio, the Junis, on a Tuesday.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, 10:51. across the Delaware Valley. In the words of my man, Pet Shop Eddie, I just care so much more about the big man's health and a chip than effing Denver and the Joker. I think you'd speak for Sixer fans everywhere, which is, you know, it's not about that. You know, it's not about that sort. You know, like, it really is about the whole thing of getting out of the second round, you know, then this nonsense. But here's the thing. NBA pundits didn't need a story.
Yes, they do.
So that's the story. And it's an obvious story. Oh, look, he didn't show up at the OK Corral at high noon. Ooh, he didn't show up in the schoolyard at 3 o'clock. What are you, for real? Like, you guys didn't even watch the last time when Embiid had his way with Jokic. Come on. It's
ridiculous. Well, because the last time they played didn't fit their narrative.
Well, you know, right.
They loved the Jokic. They loved the Joker.
Right.
So they, I still remember when that game happened, after it was done, the NBA Twitter account posted something like, what a historic battle of the bigs. And it was like, yeah, Jokic had a nice game. It's like, it was like 24-9-8.
Yeah.
And beat it 47-18. And they did something where they were like, the two bigs combined for 71 points. Well, and beat it 47 of them.
Yeah.
Like, don't. You can't do that. You can't try to fix, you know, fit the narrative the way you want it to. But that's what they do.
Oh, that's great. That's fit.
Will Chamberlain and so and so combined for 110 points last night.
Oh, that's great. Isn't that fantastic? Oh, my God. It's a joke. It really is. Mitch in Phoenix. Hello, Mitch. Good morning, buddy.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
How are you, brother?
I'm just comparing Embiid, the guy from Denver, and the guy from Milwaukee's stats. And when I look at their stats, the thing that comes out in front of me the most is the guy from Denver. And it's not because Embiid's got more points per game. It's because of the rebounds, the assists, and the amount of games that he's played. So when it's all said and done, unfortunately, I don't think Embiid's going to get the MVP.
You know, listen, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen to the voters and the whole thing. And, you know, at one point, he was the leader. He had taken over Jokic and was the leader. I can't do the stats thing because I just think it's kind of ridiculous, because when you're looking at Jokic on the other side of the floor, it gives you nothing. So how do you quantify the fact that he's a bad defender? You know, I mean, Giannis has been incredible all year long, and they're the one seed. So, I mean, it is what it is. Taking beat off this team MVP-wise, Mitch, I mean, what do you got?
Yeah, I hear you.
But, I mean, that's, you know, the adage, right?
The most important thing is for this team, this organization, your city, is to get away from all the rounds that they lose in and appear in a championship game.
You're right. You're 100% right. Yeah, I agree. I agree with you. You're right on, Mitch. And all this stuff, it's not about any of that nonsense. Not now. This is about, you know, winning and getting out of the second round.
You know, when I look at Jokic and I look at Embiid, and I've watched almost every game the Sixers have played this year because I have the NBA League Pass. The thing that stands out for me is the guy from Denver plays under control. He's not picking himself off the floor every game like Joel does. He gets his other
I don't see that, dude. I'll be honest with you. He's not been floppy. I mean, if you watched him over this season, I mean, he's played in control. They run at him. You know, he hasn't done that.
You know, I went to the game Saturday here in Phoenix. And MB went up against a backup center.
Bayamba.
Yeah. He played well, but the coach had an idea of how to hold Embiid to a normal game. And I say normal, not 40-plus points. And what he did, he set up a wall. And other teams have done the same thing, especially in the playoffs.
When without Harden, it's hard to navigate that defense, right? Because you need someone else. When you wall off Embiid, you're right. I mean, that's what you should do, right? Like, you know, if Harden's not playing, and that's a great call, brother. I appreciate it, Mitch. But if Harden's not playing, of course you're going to wall Embiid. Because who's going to spread the floor? You got to make, you know, if you're going to go double and triple Embiid, he's going to then kick out. And where's your, you know, spacer, Junis?
Yeah, I mean, now you're in trouble. They like, I'm confused. So he's like finding reasons why to not like Embiid, it seems like.
I mean, Jokic
plays in control.
Yeah, at this point, people have their own opinions. I'm not trying to change anybody. I'm just trying to keep it, 100 in what we see. Like, again, I got a buddy of mine. Oh, Harden's more important. Harden's a point guard. And if Embiid's not on the floor, Harden has nothing. You need the both of them together. And it's the same thing. When you have a team that lacks a point guard, they only have one. And it's James. He's their only point guard. Sixers need him desperately. He's their only point guard. I mean, Maxie's not a point. He's not a one.
No.
You don't have a backup. So you need someone that can run the offense. Right? I mean, isn't that kind of what it is?
Yeah, it's exactly what it is. I don't know what the confusion is here. They need a point guard, and other than James Harden, and the problem is they don't have another one. So it's what we're going for into the playoffs, and that's why Harden's got to get right. That's why he's got to get healthy, and that's why you're also trying to keep Embiid healthy.
Right. Like Saturday night against Phoenix, when you don't have Harden, it's killer when you're going up against. And look who they have, Chris Paul, who can play with his eyes closed and play the one. he'll get you 8 dimes. Literally with his eyes closed in the first quarter. I mean, that's what he does. VG, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. VG?
I don't care. Shout out to the great Kevin Meaney. Rest in peace. I don't care that he didn't play. I don't care who wins the MVP. I don't care what the pundits say. Just stay healthy and get healthy. This is crazy. It's 3 games and 4 nights on the road. Of course he's going to sit one of them, right? What's going on?
Exactly.
I mean, J.J. Redick, first take, he was pretty good. He just said, obviously at this point in the process, the most important thing in Philadelphia is that they win the conference finals. Like, this has nothing to do with anything. Who cares?
That's right. That's spot on. And again, the league itself has to figure out what it's going to do in the regular season because, this is not going away. 3 games of 4 nights.
I mean, this is just
when you're
is. I
when
mean,
you're arcing toward April,
a lot of the regular season.
Right. Yes. And, it's the truth.
They're not getting a number 2 seed. So let's just get them healthy. I'm starting to worry about the number 3 seed. Cleveland winning, the games are winning. The Sixers got a tough stretch coming up.
I hear you. I hear you.
So with all this nonsense, we got 2 days, buddy.
2 days until baseball.
405.
Baseball.
Ready to go. I've been looking. Man, so jonesing for this. You see the whole weather. The weather next week's all going to be in the 60s. It's like lining up.
I saw a 70 day too. I was like,
man, don't even tease me with the 70s.
70s and baseball. What?
Man. I wish your leg. I forgot you had a bum leg. I wish you had a good leg so we could go down and do a little.
I know, man. Me and the Jewish would be
but,
right.
Yeah, man. Tell me, everybody. Screw these national people. It's just nonsense at this point, and I'm fine. And like JJ's, I guess they talked about Embiid said, "What pressure do I have?" JJ was honest. He's like, he's just trolling people at this point,
That's what he does. That's how he has his fun. You know how that works.
All right, 2 days. Play ball.
Play ball. I love it. Play ball. It's 11 a.m. across our city of Philadelphia. Open the vault, Junis.
You know, when we began opening this vault nearly 2 hours ago, we had no real idea what we'd find inside. As it turns out, we haven't found very much.
All right, beautiful day of the vault because we have a little bit of everything. We got birthdays. We got this day in history. We got something that took place in Philadelphia that's not 4 for 4 related, this day in history. So we're going to get right to it. And this one that happened in Philly, I'll get this one out of the way. I'll do it first. People were very excited, Anthony. I got a lot of tweets last Friday when in the vault we played homage to The Undertaker because it was his birthday. I got a lot of people, wrestling fans, that tweeted in saying, hey, more wrestling in the vault, please. And I found out that we still have a big group of wrestling fans that listen That's to the awesome. Show. So right around now, I know it's happening again soon. There's a WrestleMania happening soon. It's always around this time of the year. So how about this day in history? We're going back to WrestleMania 15, which happened at the First United Center.
Are you serious?
The FU Center. We got Stone Cold taking on The Rock. We got Vince McMahon in inside the ring, as well as Mankind, who was one of my favorites. So take a listen.
He checked himself out or something. Vince McMahon, look out! Look out! And it's time to steal Mr. McMahon.
You can't hit him! Get him, Rock!
Mankind, apparently, is going to be the referee of record. Oh, what a shot by The Rock. And a knockdown. Wow. What a magnificent move by The Rock.
Electrifying move in sports history.
That's fabulous.
I love it. Better than Bryce Harper's, you know, eventual game-winning home run in the NLCS.
That's classic.
That's great. So that was this day in history. WrestleMania 15 happening in Philadelphia. Your boy The Rock was in it. I know you're a fan of The Rock.
I do. I love The Rock.
He's in Hollywood now. Stone Cold Steve Austin in Hollywood now. A lot of these guys seem to be in Hollywood now. They must be good actors or something. Moving on. So the internet was broken a little over a year ago, and we actually played the clip that broke the internet a couple of weeks ago because it was the day in history 1 year later from when Will Smith smacked Chris Rock in the face on the stage. Well, 1 year ago today was the apology video of Will Smith.
I spent the last 3 months replaying and understanding the nuances and the complexities of what happened in that moment. And I'm not going to try to unpack all of that right now, but I can say to all of you, there is no part of me that thinks that was the right way to behave in that moment. There's no part of me that thinks that's the optimal way to handle a feeling of disrespect or insults.
Your thoughts?
I mean, seriously? I mean, I zoned out of that nonsense when he talked about the nuances and complexities of what happened. You smacked the guy. All right?
give me it's really break. Not that big of a deal.
I mean, would you stop?
They made this such a big deal. Not they as in Chris Rock ridiculous. And Will Smith, but a lot of people in Hollywood.
I mean, by the way, they did too. Like,
Will Smith
went right into it. I mean, stop. The whole thing's ridiculous.
Oh, my God. It really is.
The only thing more ridiculous is the lawsuit against Gwyneth Paltrow on the slopes in Colorado, that the optometrist is suing Gwyneth Paltrow for brain damage and all kinds of things. Because Gwyneth Paltrow, who must weigh 100 or maybe
right,
pounds,
right, exactly.
I've never been hit that hard in my life.
Yeah, acting like it's Brian Dawkins coming.
Exactly right. It's Gwyneth Dawkins.
G-Dog.
You got to be kidding me.
We got G-Dog.
G Paltrow. Are you got to be kidding me? This is so ridiculous. And then they cover it, right? Like all the news shows. And let's go to the legal analyst. What'd you think of the testimony on the stand? What? The guy's a money grab. And she's a rich, you know, actress, like, cares about these people.
It's amazing, man. It really
That's
is.
That's why you wonder why we're going to hell.
Right.
All right? And you wonder why China's taking over the world. Well, we're worried about Gwyneth Paltrow, submarine and some optometrist on a freaking, you know, mountain. God, like he's destitute. He's in with all these rich people. And all next thing you know, she's barreling into him. Like, oh, you got to be kidding me. This is such a nonsense. Oh, I hate it.
So we're going to stick in the world of Hollywood now, eh? but this is a good one. This day in 1977, eh? A movie was awarded Best Picture by the Academy.
Fight Sid.
Listen to me. I want to be your manager. You follow that, do you?
Fight Sid, I don't need no manager.
But you can't buy what I'm going to give you. I mean, I've got pain and I've got experience.
Well, I got pain, I've got experience too.
Listen, kid.
Hey, look, hey, Mick.
What?
Look, I need your help about 10 years ago, right? 10 years ago? Right. You never helped me, no. You didn't care.
Well, if you wanted help, I say, if you wanted help, why didn't you ask? Why didn't you just ask me, kid?
Look, I asked, but you never heard nothing.
Well, I'm 76 years old.
Took me long enough to get you. You're 10 years ago in my house. Huh? What's the matter? You don't like my house? My house stink? That's right, it stinks!
I have no favors from you!
What about your prime?
What about my prime, Nick? At least you had a prime! I ain't had no prime, I ain't had nothing. Legs are going, everything is going, no one's getting them, nothing. Guy comes up, offers me a fight. Big deal, want to fight the fight? Yeah, I'll fight the big fight. I want to go and fight that big fight, who's going to happen to me? I want to get that! I want to get that! And you want me to reach out and see it? Do you? You want to help me out? Huh? You want to see me get my face kicked in? Legs ain't working, nothing's working. They go on, fight the chair. Yeah, I'll fight him.
Face kicked in.
You come around here, you want to move in here with me? Come on in, nice house. Real nice, come on in and move. It stinks.
1977, and Best Picture.
Dude, by the way, like, think about that scene for a second. That was great acting.
Oh, it was.
I mean, that was actually brilliant acting. It was so perfect. Why, you want to watch me get, I'm going to get this.
Yeah.
I want to get my face kicked in.
Legs don't work.
Like, that is brilliant.
It's such a good movie. It really is. And I know people like to make fun, and we have fun saying some of the ridiculous lines, but it's such a good story.
Well, that story by itself was just brilliant. I mean, even 2 was very good in how it in the evolution of the character. When he tries to retire. And, you know, like, and he's trying to do a commercial and he can't read.
Tamil Hanley.
Right. Like, God, listen, that's all, that's good. That's where it should end. You know.
Four!
Come on, man.
No, four. Four is stupid.
Come on.
All right? I mean.
How dare you?
Listen.
If he dies, stuff. He dies.
I mean, come on, man. Go on, even 3. When all of a sudden he speaks to King of English. I mean.
Oh, man.
Like, that's who he
do,
was.
Do.
Right. Like, who oh, he man. Was this. You know, 10 years ago, I needed your help. Now I'm a broken down guy. Living in some, you know, apartment with that, remember the refrigerator, the ice box. You know.
That's awesome.
That's the character. That's a great character.
Don't worry, I'll call Pauly. He opens the window.
Yeah. Yo, Pauly. Your sister's with me.
Moving on. We have a birthday to celebrate today. One Vince Vaughn. So I have the
I like Vince Vaughn.
I have the good and the bad. So we'll start with the good. This was him talking about dating in the movie Wedding Crashers.
I've got the perfect girl for you.
Janice, I apologize to you if I don't seem real eager to jump into a forced, awkward, intimate situation that people like to call dating. I don't like the feeling. You're sitting there, you're wondering, do I have food on my face? Am I eating? Am I talking too much? Are they talking enough? Am I interested? I'm not really interested. Should I play like I'm interested, but I'm not that interested, but I think she might be interested, but do I want to be interested, but now she's not interested? So now all of a sudden I'm starting to get interested. And when am I supposed to kiss her? Do I have to wait for the door? Because then it's awkward. It's like, well, good night. Do you do like the ass out hug? Where you like, you hug each other like this and the ass sticks out because you're trying not to get too close. You just go right in and kiss them on the lips, or don't kiss them at all. It's very difficult trying to read the situation. And all the while, you're just really wondering, are we going to get hopped up enough to make some bad decisions?
So he's great in Wedding Crashers, great in the internship when he's at Google with Owen, great in the breakup with Aniston. He's great in all these movies, but he wasn't that great in a show that you and I really liked, and season two was a bit of a disaster. So here's Vince Vaughn trying to act tough in True Detective.
Jesus, buddy, what was that about?
Oh, God, thank you.
Why would somebody come after you like that, guy? I mean, that was crazy, right?
No, they just...
What'd you do to piss somebody off? Can you think of anything?
What does that mean?
I don't know what that means. I'm asking you what you might have did to get guys like that after you.
But I know you.
I've never seen you before, but I saw the whole thing, and I wish we could figure out what you did. Like some kind of behavior that guys like that would have issue with. Like mouthed off or made a gesture, or you're running book in Vinci's sweatshops.
What? Is that what this is?
Is what is? Is that what you think this is? It just seems to me like you pissed off some serious people. Maybe you ought to take more care.
That show was so disappointing.
Oh, it was terrible.
That season. It was so disappointing.
Especially off of the first one.
It was so good.
Amazing with McConaughey and Woody Harrelson.
It was so good. And then that was just a disaster.
I remember thinking, wow, this is some of the greatest TV I've ever seen. All right.
Right.
You had the Lone Star Beer.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, McConaughey was amazing in that.
He was great. And then it was just a mess after that. But happy birthday to Vince Vaughn. I'll play one more.
All his comedy stuff. He's a sportsman, too. You can tell he's a sportsman.
Yes, he is. I'll play one more Rocky scene for you before we get out of here.
Hey, you got something for me?
Yeah, there was some guy here from Miles Jurgens looking for you. They need sparring partners for Apollo Creed.
Put me on.
Here's a car.
When was it here?
About an hour ago.
They're probably looking for sparring partners for Creed, you know?
I said that before, you dumb...
You know, I've been coming in for 6 years. The 6 years you've been sticking it to me. I want to know how come.
You don't want to know.
Yeah, I want to know how come.
You want to know?
I want to know!
Okay, I'm going to tell you. Because you had the talent to become a good fighter. And instead of that, you became a leg breaker to some cheap second-rate loan shark.
It's a living?
It's a waste of life.
Wow. That was pretty good, too.
It's a living?
That's what I said.
Burgess.
That's another great scene. Are you kidding me? How about when he puts his locker on Skid Row?
On Skid Row, yeah. I have that one buried somewhere.
Right. It's Dipper's locker. Mickey told me to bag it.
Put my stuff on Skid Row?
Mickey told me to bag it. All right. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. All right, coming up, we're going to continue with all of our stuff that we want to get to, all right? Like, all of our stuff that we need. And, the Sixers, and I got some Philly stuff for you. We got Jeff McClain coming up at 12:20. But in addition to that, speaking of movies, I just got two words to say. John Wick. All right? We got to talk John Wick. I need some answers, all right? John Wick, $73.5 million this weekend. And it crossed Shazam. So I actually want to do that. We'll continue with the Embiid stuff, obviously, the Phillies. And we're going to go over a little exercise going over the depth chart between the Phillies, the Braves, and the Mets. So that's all coming up. It's Cuz Ready with the Chunis right here, 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Great vault, man. Great vault, brother.
Thank you.
Excellent. That vault brought to you by Golden Nugget Jewelers, where Philly gets engaged. We'll get back to the Joel story, and whereas we are under attack by the NBA, you know, pundits. And I, you know, again, the bigger conversation is not about that stupid award, you know, I'm so tired of, but it's about how you're going to fix the game, you know, and how you're actually going to make the regular season matter again. I mean, that's a huge, huge problem that the league faces.
Yeah, I mean, they it's funny. They did away with load management, right? Oh, my toe hurts. Oh, okay, you're on the injury report, you're not playing tonight. Now, Embiid's actually got a calf injury, and Harden's clearly got an Achilles thing. But, you know, forget those two guys. Take those two guys out of it when stars are missing a lot of games, and it's an injury. I mean, like Ben Simmons has what? What's his injury now?
He's got a
nerves.
Yeah, it was a nerve impingement.
Yeah. Yeah, Markelle Fultz had thoracic outlet syndrome. You know, like it's... They can come up with an injury to miss a few games. Or in Ben Simmons' case, run away from the league.
Right. And you know, I mean, we all know that you can invent any kind of injury.
Yes.
Right? It's not even about that. It's more about how are you going to spread out the games? What are you going to do with the number of games? How do you incentivize teams? Like, that's a big deal, is how you incentivize them. You know, I mean, let's be real for a second. Six is basically locked into the 2 seed. I know Cleveland, or 3 seed. I know Cleveland's kind of on the tail a little bit, but I don't see it. I think they're going to, they'll be in the 3 seed. They can't really catch, you can't catch Boston, and that's kind of the story.
Yeah, it's the way that it is. Right.
And, you know, I mean, that's kind of, these seeds get locked into this stuff.
Yeah, there has to be more to it. You're right. Because, especially once we get near to the end of the season, you're going to see more and more teams sitting their better players, which, look, we see that in really any sport except football, because it comes down to the wire so much, where guys are resting players, or maybe they're at baseball, they play 2 out of the 3 games in a series the last couple of weeks of the season. But basketball, I mean, we see it all the time.
Or it's a minutes restriction
kind of deal.
I mean, you know. There's a lot. A friend of mine who is an NBA guy is listening, and we love him. And he said, my favorite injury is MSH. My bleep hurts. So that was the league. Like, here we go. My bleep hurts.
Yeah.
And so they wouldn't play. MSH. That's, you got to awesome. Like that, right?
Yeah, that's a good one.
All right, here's the other thing that I want to get to. And then we got Jeff McClain come up at 12:20, and I got some Philly stuff that I want to do with you guys. But John Wick did 73, John Wick 4, the fourth chapter, did $73.5 million this weekend. I mean, it's just a monster. The John Wick, people love it. They love John Wick. You know what's amazing? Keanu Reeves, I read a story, was doctoring the script, and he took out lines. So throughout the whole movie, he says only 380 words.
Really? That's awesome.
And it's like two and a, I don't know how long the movie is. The long runtime, right? And he says 380 words, which for a writer like me is not good. But it's unbelievable. My cousin, right? So I've never seen the movie. So my cousin calls me up. This is about two, I don't know, you might have remembered. So I talked about this one time on the air. Do you remember this?
Oh, yeah, John Wick 3.
I mean, it was before that. It might have been two, whatever.
Oh, I remember so we talked about the Boban fight scene.
So my cousin goes, dude, I stumbled on to John Wick. You got to watch it. And he's like, it's awesome. It's about, you know, listen, my cousin and I kind of share a brain, right? Like, we're very close, and we have very similar taste, and we think really alike. We joke around that we share a brain. And he's like, dude, you got to watch John Wick. And it's been on my list forever. And for some reason, I just haven't done it. You know, like, it's free time right now. You got Coop now. I got the two kids. There's not a lot of free time, and I got my shows and everything else. But people love it. And I still don't even know the story. The story is they shot his dog, right? Did you see them?
I've not watched one of them. Something about his dog was murdered, and then he went on the revenge tour, and now all of a sudden it's four movies in. To me, it's, I don't want to call it a money grab because I don't want to be disrespectful to, my quarterback, Keanu Reeves, because, you know, he's my quarterback from The Replacement, so I can't be disrespectful to him, but it seems like it's just, you know, a flick of just violence, which I think people like, and it's one of these easy movies to watch, right? Like, I'll compare John Wick in terms of a, every time it comes out, people are going to go to the box, you know, the box office to watch it, to like a Fast and Furious. Fast and Furious has gotten ridiculous. They're fighting in space.
See, I was never in on the Fast and Furious.
So I wasn't either until a few years ago. I was still living in the Northeast. You know, Christy and I were dating, but, you know, we weren't living together, not engaged, not married, no kid. And me and my roommate, Jimmy, we went out the previous night and came back at God knows what time, feeling like awful, you know what I mean? You wake up the next morning and we're both on the couch and you put on the TV and the first thing that's on is Fast and Furious 1. And I'm too lazy to even hit the next button, right? So I just leave it on. Before you know it, Fast and Furious 2 comes on, followed by 3, followed by 4, followed by 5. I watched all 5 of them in one day. I could see why people like them. I'm not really locked into the story all that much. But there's a lot of action that's going on nonstop, and it gets to the point where the action is ridiculous, and you start laughing about it. I would imagine that's kind of like John Wick at this point. That I'm sure some of the, you know, scenes where the guy's killing people, or it gets to the point where it's comical, and you go, how did that even happen? That would be my guess. But it's easy to watch. Like, that's a movie
I heard it's great, though. The people, like, well, my cousin, listen, and it's incredible. He said it's actually great.
All right, so the Fink checks in. He signs off on it. So
I trust the Fink.
I do too. But this is what he says at the end. It's just pure action and mayhem the entire time. So that's exactly what it is, right? Like, if you got an hour and a half, 2 hours to kill, and you don't want to think too much, and you just want it to be easy, and you just want to have a good time and probably laugh and be like, whoa, how did he do that? Which I'm a fan of, as you may know. I could probably put that on and enjoy it.
That I gotta tell you, people, they go nuts over it. So I can be a bit of a, you know, snobby TV movie person, right? Because I kind of like, you know, a lot of varied taste. I like fun too. And it's funny because when my cousin says it, I know I like it. Now Devon checks in on the text board. It's the best. And it's funny, Millie, same thing. Millie said, it's not just a dog, it's John Bleeping Wick's dog. Yeah. That's fantastic. He said, John Wick is like Game of Thrones to people who didn't watch Game of Thrones. once they watch it, it's like a whole new wow factor is unlocked. It's fantastic.
So here we go. I'm getting more. This is from Caleb. Not only did they kill his dog, which was a gift from his wife after her death, they also stole his car, which was a gift from his dead wife. So he was a former assassin and gets back into the assassin life.
Right, because he lost his wife. Yes. And then that was, you know.
The bro is not just the dog. The bro checks it. John Wick is awesome.
Dude, the cult of Wick is unbelievable. Like, 73.5 million dollars in a weekend.
Because that's an easy move to go, like, yo, bros, like, you want to go?
They smashed. John Wick smashed Shazam.
Yeah, because that's, you know, you take your kid to see Shazam, but you go with the bros. You go with the boys. You know.
I got to get the boys.
You roll
can
up.
I want, let me ask you guys a question. Because we.
I don't
we
mean
like,
the boys as in your kids. I mean, your like, your friends. That's a go to
right.
movie and
no,
watch.
Let me ask you a question, though. Can my boys watch it? I know there's gratuitous violence.
I've never seen it, but that's what I would imagine. I mean,
obviously, we watch the Marvel movies. So, can Anthony at 13?
Probably Anthony. The Marvel right? movies is like fighting and superheroes, though. This is, you know, assassination and
yeah.
guns and knives and grenades and explosives.
But is it cartoonish? Like, you know what I mean? Like, is it, you know? I don't know. I would imagine that it is. I got to watch it.
So, the merchant checks it. Both of you are doing yourselves a disservice by not watching any of them. Story is deeper than it looks to. Stunt sequences and action are fantastic. I'm all about it. I'm not saying I'm never going to watch it.
I bring it up on purpose.
Right.
Because it is such a phenomenon that I, and it was funny because I've been meaning to watch it ever since my cousin a couple years ago stumbled on them and started watching. He's like, dude, you got to watch this. It's awesome. High entertaining. Highly entertaining. So I'm all about it. I'm just asking for, you know, what makes it so great? What makes Wick? Like, what makes him so great? Because, I mean, listen, this is the fourth. There's going to be a TV show. They're already talking about the fifth installment of it.
Yeah, but my question is, when does it get too far for the Wick fans, that have actually watched it?
I don't know.
Because Fast and Furious, like 65, they're now fighting in space. Like, that's like, come on now. Like, what are we doing here? But I know people are still going to go and watch it.
So Nikki checks in and says, I saw 1.5 Wicks. Choreographed fight scenes and cinematography, A-. Everything else, no good. He said, I can't believe I gave 130 minutes of my life to the Wick. The Fink is correct. It's mayhem and violence. I mean, it sounds like it could be fun. Fun mayhem.
Yeah, I'm
right?
sure. Yeah, it's a Friday night, Saturday night, easy to watch kind of movie. Now, your interest in movies is probably a little different.
Yeah, but it's just more vast. Like, I'm in on stuff like that. Uncle Frank, my son-in-law loves some Wick, but don't think Little Ant's ready yet. All right. So it's a little much.
Caleb follows up. Graphic violence kills people with books and pencils, etc. It's very bloody. All depends on what Little Ant is allowed.
Huh. Yeah.
So it looks like no go on Little Ant just yet.
Yeah, yeah. Well, listen, you know, he does. We're Marvel guys, you know. Like I do the Marvel with him. So that's, you know, that's kind of where we're at, movie wise. Black Gritty, Deep in East Streets. BG, are you a Wick man?
Oh my God, you guys have me almost. I was hanging up the phone listening to two guys who haven't watched John Wick talk about John Wick. It was hurting my heart. It is a cult. It is the greatest action franchise in America. It's nothing like Fast and the Furious. It's actually amazing. My daughter saw John Wick 1 when she was 7, so I think your kid's okay. It's a comic book.
Oh, really?
We came out there running around the street, especially the first one, because the first one deals with love and the dog and the revenge and all that kind of stuff. And it is just great. Imagine a white man as a ninja assassin that just disappears in the middle of the night and can scare the whole world. One man is so proficient at his job, he can kill you with a pencil. My goodness, yes, go watch John Wick. Watch all of them, and then come back and tell me. He's like Wolverine on steroids. I love the John Wick series. Put me in the coat, write me down, take a picture. You're two grown men.
It's awesome.
Flowing through your body. How have you not watched this movie? Get it done this week. Put it on the counter. You got a 10-day window, or I'm going to come and find you like the WWE. My goodness. Ooh, you are stressing me out, warrior.
Can I ask you a question, BG? As a Wicks man,
yeah.
John Wick or our Liam Neeson movie? I'm blanking on the name right now.
Taken. You could have four Liam Neesons. I love Liam Neesons. You could have four of them, and one John Wick will take out four.
No, but what's the better story? Taken or Wick?
That's tough. Because
I love Taken, so I imagine I love John Wick.
So let me ask you a question. So you say the Wick buries, what was his name? What was his name in that movie? Liam Neeson in Taken.
His name was Brian Mills.
Brian, that's right. So was the Wick
bleep
up Brian?
He would kill four of them.
Four Bryans. And he's got a special skill sets.
In a world of assassins, all the assassins can't take out this.
They're
one
all afraid
assassin.
Of him. Yeah.
And yes, it's a little bit. Complex,
who is he? But who is he? If you got the greatest, baddest mofos on the planet in the history of the planet, who is he?
He was a Russian orphan. Picked up by an oligarch assassin family, trained in Krav Maga at the age of three, had to freaking burn up. Man, I'm
curious.
This guy was born and raised to kill and pluck from obscurity and became the baddest person on the planet. Again,
sounds like Bane from Batman.
He's Bruce Lee meets a Russian, killer.
Yeah.
Meets. Okay.
The greatest sets in the world. They're going all around the world. The Dubai's, the Paris, all the luxurious.
Well, I love that stuff. Listen, I love that sort of thing. You're all over Europe and mayhem. I'm down with that.
Yeah. The first one's the best. Then the second one. The fourth one's better than the third, and then so forth. But they're all really good. They're all really good. Right. And again, you'll laugh like two parts that are like, oh, that's ridiculous. But then you got to remember it's a comic book and you go on about your day. But it's not Fast and Furious level. Anyway, what's the sports stuff? Y'all have me stressed out, boy. That whole conversation had me stressed. Joel Embiid.
Well, that's the point. You got to shed light, enlightenment.
I know.
This is where we share our stories together.
Yeah, and when you sit down with both the boys, you just tell them like, hey, look. This is a comic book movie. Nothing's real. Let's just enjoy it and see how it goes. After you watch the first, then you'll judge how the kids are. But like I said, my daughter saw when she was 7, and she hasn't assassinated anybody yet. She's 16 now. So, I mean, we're doing all right,
Right.
But Joel Embiid, he wasn't ducking anything. If he's ducking anything, he's ducking the Denver Mile High altitude with an injury. Because when you're running up and down the court, and that altitude is messing with your body, that's why them sitting Harden was smart. So I'm like, why are they not sitting Harden? And they end up sitting Harden. At the end of the day, I want to just do bubble wrap for the last 20 games because all I want is health going into the playoffs because we've got to be healthy and make a run. So I get people being upset and people being mad. The national pundits are going to do what they do. They eat chalk every morning trying to come up with something that's not dry. So they make up their stories. They're going to do what they do. I get it. But right now, the health is the most important.
Yes. Amen, BG. Amen, Black Gritty. I agree. Completely agree.
I don't know who you are. I don't know what you want. If you are looking for a ransom, I can tell you I don't have money. But what I do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills I've acquired over a very long career. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you. If you let my daughter go now, that'll be the end of it. I will not look for you. I will not pursue you. But if you don't, I will look for you. I will find you. And I will kill you.
Good luck.
Damn.
Dude, I mean, come on. That's
damn.
Is Wick better than that?
And Black Rudy says that Wick would take out four Bryans. And, you know, Brian was nasty.
Brian was nasty, dude. That was a good storyline, too.
I mean, when he lost his family for a third time,
then I was like, all right, dude, come on.
Yeah, well, yeah. When he goes into the Albanians, the one dude, I mean, his neck was like the width of a basketball.
We're all
Monaco. You know what I mean? His head, like a basketball. And he had the 5 o'clock shadow.
Yes.
And all he wore muscled up.
We are all Monaco.
And yes! And Brian's like, bleep you, mofos. And goes right in and take Cleese's house.
I have to watch that and Wick and then compare the two.
Dude, you know what I got to do. You know what we're going to wind up doing that I want to cook up is the baddest mofo competition.
The Goat List returns this Friday.
The baddest mother fathers on the planet, the history of cinema.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Right, welcome back. 11:51. Jeff McClain going to join us at 12:20. We'll get into some Eagles news. When we can expect the Hurts deal? What are we looking for? The draft? The Zeke Elliott stuff? That I just don't even understand the Zeke stuff. To be honest with you,
no, neither do I. And people are still about it.
Yeah, I don't get it.
There's a reason why he also hasn't been picked up yet.
You know,
I don't think the Eagles are alone and maybe not wanting him.
Yeah,
He'll get signed at some point.
I think the whole thing's a sham. I think the whole thing's a sham, to be honest with you. Don't you?
Meaning what?
Meaning that story was a plant. It was a con.
Oh, yeah.
It was his people.
Well, it's not much of a sham when it said he narrowed it down to the three teams that he wants.
Yeah.
It didn't say these are the three teams interested in Zeke. It was he narrowed it down to his three teams. And that's why I go back to the analogy I gave you of, 2017 NBA. Every veteran narrowed it down to the Heat and the Warriors. You know, do I want to play with KD and Steph, or do I want to play with LeBron and company? Or whatever team he was on at the time, the Cavs. But, like, that's basically what it was.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like the NBA now. Oh, this guy narrowed it down to the Bucks or the Celtics or the Heat because he wants to play in Miami to close out his career. That doesn't mean that those teams want him.
I know.
I could say, hey, Andrew Salchunas, I want to play for the Sixers. They might not want me.
Let me ask you a question. And I am completely with you on that. The Wick, and I'm curious of the Wick peeps. I'm a big Bourne fan. And, Wick v. Bourne. How does Jason Bourne stack up to the Wick?
That's a good question.
See, dude, we got to do this. The baddest mother fathers ever. We got to finish tomorrow. I was waiting for the end of the week to resume our Final Four. And we got the Field of 64 sports food. But we got to finish this so we can do the baddest mother fathers. You agree?
I'm in on that, yeah. But we still have what?
Actually, I want to do that.
Are we in the
dude.
Sweet 16 right now?
Yes.
So yeah, we got some work to do.
Yes. We have the Elite Eight on one side though, dude.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, we're not as backed up as you think. But we'll get into it. All right, let's get back to the phone lines. I love this conversation. Naeem, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Naeem.
Hey, what's up, cuz? What's up,
Joe? What's happening, Naeem?
Hey, listen, man, I'm so troubled by
what they keep doing to Joel Embiid, right? So you really got to just watch the game. But the person I'm really, like, they say he was ducked in Jokic. I think he was ducked in the city of Denver because the last time he played Jokic, he committed an aggravated assault. He scored 50 points and 20 rebounds, right? So they might have been trying to lock him up about that. So maybe he was out there and play, right? Kendrick Perkins is a bum. I mean, I know y'all can't say that. He was a bum when he played, so I don't understand how he could say anything remotely crazy about the way Jawal is playing. Like, I don't get it. He's a big man, and he should know. Like, he played with Kevin Garnett. Jawal Embiid reminds me of a cross between Shaq and Kevin Garnett. You know,
I'm with you. I don't understand how he gets you to, he's ducking, he didn't show up, he's ducking that smoke. What are you, nuts? Seriously. Kendrick Perkins out of his mind. And the other thing, too, is you're supposed to be the NBA analyst. All right, there's three games in four nights. He plays Friday and Saturday. You got the playoffs around the corner. What do you think he's going to play? Three games in four nights? Why would you do that when you have nothing to gain?
Nothing. And you just torched him for 50 points, 18 rebounds. 20 rebounds. You just torched him. Like, exactly. What else do you need to prove? Like, I don't understand, man. Except for...
Hey,
yes. They need to find some new voters for the MVP award, because it's ridiculous.
Yeah, you know what? I'm so tired of that stupid award, too, to be honest with you.
Yeah, really, really, really. But he deserves it, man. Like,
I agree.
But he's the best player in the NBA for 2 years running, at least. You know what I'm saying?
He's a dominant force. By the way, if I'm Giannis, I got a beef, too.
Yeah. Yeah, well, listen. And I'm going to say this in closing, man. If they remember the best player on the planet, Michael Jordan, if they want to say Kobe Bryant, whoever they want to say, Michael Jordan could not win a title until they put the right pieces around him. That man was averaging 60, well, not averaging. He was scoring 60, 50. He was killing people by himself. But he could not win until they brought in Horace Grant, Scottie Pippen, et cetera, right?
Yep. You're spot on.
Kobe the same way. He couldn't win without Shaq. And then with Shaq, not just him and Shaq, they had to bring other pieces in for them to win.
Yeah, but the only thing about Kobe... He wins with, man, Pau Gasol's a nice player, but, I mean, you know, that was a Kobe doing it by himself.
Yeah, he was.
Kobe was the main.
Yeah, Kobe was definitely the man. I ain't think, my point is only that basketball is a team sport, right?
I agree. You're spot on, man. You did that right.
Yeah.
That's why people go, Harden's so important. Yeah, he's important. You need a point guard to set to run the offense. Right. Of course he's important.
Right.
I'm with you.
Right.
Naeem's. What a great call. Naeem, good stuff, man. Appreciate it, brother. Here's Matt. Wick v. Bourne is a great debate. I lean Bourne, but it's close. So I think they could be both one seeds.
I got to think. Can we get 64 badasses?
Oh, yeah. What? Can we get... I can almost do it off the top of my head. Definitely. 64, no problem.
All right.
No problem with that. Honestly, Junis. T-Love, you're on 97.5, the Fanatic. T-Love.
Hey, how's everybody doing, man?
What's crackolating, T-Love?
Yo, I got a bone to pick with Jonas, man. I love you, bro. I love you, man. But, yo, you can't compare John Wick to Fast and Furious, man. What are you doing, man? Yo, John Wick, I'm going to tell you something. John Wick is better than Bourne. I'm going to tell you why. The Bourne identity got a little bit repetitive towards the end, especially the third and the fourth one. Like, John Wick, they always add a new element. And the reason why he beats Jason Bourne, because Jason Bourne had trouble with one and two and three assassins. Like, John Wick is the third movie. Like, he has a bounty on his head, and he got to walk the streets alone with a whole $14 million bounty on his head. And he got a whole bunch of assassins trying to attack him. That's why I feel like John Wick beats Jason Bourne. And like the second, okay. like the second one might be the best one because that's when the Italian mobster, shows up at his doorstep, asking him to repay the favor or whatever, and he wants him to go after the Italian Camorra's crime, family, whatever. Like,
wait a second, he Wick is fighting the Camorra?
Yeah, man. That's
what?
Yes.
And that's my favorite. The Gamora. There's the show, and there's an Italian show called Gamora. It's my favorite.
Yes, like it's serious. Like and like even if, like they got the dogs helping John Wick in gunfights. It's viciously like it's serious, man. It's nothing like Fast and Furious, and it's not as repetitive as Bourne. That's what I say. Like it is silly, it is silly, but it's
no. It sounds like a blast. I love that stuff. And so you're giving me he's traipsing all over the world. I'm down, man. I'm in on that.
I'm
serious. I've been meaning to watch this for a while. Ever since my cousin Joey told me to watch, you gotta watch it. I'm gonna make a point to see it.
Yeah, in the new one, they got a blind assassin. They told him about giving him a spinoff show. That's how much he stole the show in the last one.
Wow.
He got a blind assassin. I don't know if you know the Yip Man, Danny Yen.
No, I didn't know that.
Donnie E, I'm sorry, I apologize.
No, it's all right.
I didn't know that. The IP man.
Listen, now the only thing about Bourne is, think about this, he's got no memory. And the next thing you know, all the skills just, it's just instinct, they just come back to him without memory. And he's messing up fools.
Yeah, but Bourne has trouble with one and two and three guys. Like this guy's fighting a whole crime family. This guy's fighting a whole.
All right, I listen to you. I mean, I get you.
A whole bunch of assassins.
I hear you. I can't wait to see it, man. I can't wait. That's good stuff.
I saw that it's available on Peacock, John Wick.
Okay, great.
Peacock, and then I saw Hulu if you have a certain subscription to it.
I am a big Bourne fan.
You don't say.
Well, yeah.
Literally got an Embiid theme song from it.
I created the character, the Embiid character. SWAT, SWAT.
I hope y'all keep trusting the process.
And he's afraid of Jokic. You kidding me? Let Jokic get him, his three brothers, and SWAT, SWAT will take care of all four of them at the same time. What do you think?
Yeah, I can see it. In beast, man.
I can't wait to do this. Are you kidding me? Like a bitch. The badasses. That's great. Now, Jim from the Palm says you can have a Western division with all the badass cowboys.
Okay.
Like Clint Eastwood. You got a lot of old school badasses. He goes, you can get 10 badasses just from Kill Bill.
That's true. John great. Rambo, he's in there.
Yes, Rambo's in it.
Now, can multiple characters played by the same person be in it? Because Schwarzenegger.
Yes.
You got.
It's the character, not the actor.
Okay. Because you go, I'll be back, the robot guy, whatever that movie was called. What the hell was that movie called? Schwarzenegger's the Robot. Whatever. Yeah, that movie. He's in The Expendables.
Right.
He's
Stallone. Stallone's going to have four of them.
Yeah, Stallone's in there multiple
times.
He's
got Rambo. He's got The Expendables. I think I got for Rocky in there all, too.
Nah.
Rocky's he might be a 16 seed.
Now, here's another question. Hold on. Do you go... Maybe not superheroes, because they got, powers. But, even though you think you can beat up Batman, which is ridiculous, Batman's got to be in it. He's got no superhuman powers. He's just a trained fighter.
Again, they got to be human.
Yeah, he's not a superhero. He just dresses up in
Bat costume. You can't have Superman...
Okay, yeah, but Batman thank you to Bradley, Terminator. So I guess you can't go Terminator because he's a robot. He's not a human.
Right.
Okay.
They got to be, if you're a bad mofo, you're a bad mother father, you got to be a, you got to bleed.
You yeah.
gotta be
so,
up the flesh.
So Batman is in it?
Yeah, I want to see Batman get killed.
You're anti-Batman.
Especially if it's Ben Affleck.
You're so anti-Batman, it's ridiculous.
I'm anti-Ben Affleck, all right?
Yeah, but I don't go, Affleck's not my Batman.
Who's your Batman?
I go The Dark Knight, the trilogy.
Yeah, I never saw it, so.
Come on, man.
Yeah, listen, I hear you. I heard it, like, that's a hole in the game, too. That Batman.
Christian Bale, by the way, is that Batman.
Well, Christian Bale's, I love Christian Bale. He's a great actor.
So he's, you know, not Affleck.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of Batman, to be honest with you. I'll be honest with you. Let's go to, this is awesome. Crisco, he's got to go Mel Gibson from Lethal Weapon.
You can go Mel Gibson Patriot, man.
Actually,
he's running around with an axe like that. That was his. That was his gun. His weapon.
Yeah,
it was just an axe. He's running around. He's fighting a whole war.
Dude, but he gets, you know, who kicks his ass. So I'm going to do it by region.
Okay,
like Mel Gibson in The Patriot would be in the Gladiator division.
Ah, okay,
in that region, because Russ Crowe and Maximus. Takes out all day long. He takes out whatever he was in the Patriot, and so and then in the and then in William Wallace. That's another great character by Mel Gibson.
Now let me ask you,
Maximus is a bad mother father.
He had no powers. What about like a Jon Snow? In the Game of Thrones.
Yes.
He was just a swordsman.
Yes, he was a swordsman. I agree. I'm with you. Well, Anthony nailed it. Aim small, miss small. Oh, this is going to be a blast. The bad mother fathers? The ultimate? Are you kidding me? I can't wait to do this. All right. Greg, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Yo, Greg.
Yo, guys. How y'all doing?
What's up, buddy?
Listen, y'all got to go see John Wick.
I know. I'm going to get it done.
Y'all got to go see it. Listen, it's like you, instead of Bourne, you got to put Jason Statham up there.
I'm a Statham fan.
Bourne. And John Wick is better than Jason Statham. Him and Common in the last movie, they're on different train platforms opposing each other and shooting at each other on different platforms. It's crazy. The action is what makes the movie, and the fact that he does a lot of his stunts or whatever, it just makes it that much like more crazy, man. It's that crazy, that show. And Liam Neeson, everybody gets kidnapped from him. Like, that. It gets old after a while. But John Wick, man, he's just on another level.
Just when it comes to just the ability to fight, like, just to be a bad mother father. Like, Liam Neeson's pretty nasty.
He's all right, but John Wick.
I mean, he beat up all those Albanians.
Once y'all see it, you'll understand.
All right. I get you.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. (610) 632-0975 VG goes Dalton from Roadhouse.
That's got to be on there.
Swayze's out. Jim for the Pop goes, this could be the greatest bracket ever.
Oh, we gotta finish the foods first.
I know. Well, I want to hurry up and finish them.
All right, well,
crown the champion, and then move on to the bad mother fathers.
All right, well, after McClain, we got an hour left in this show. We could start the polls. They're 1 hour long polls.
You want to do that? All right.
Yeah, today's Tuesday. We finish by the end of the show tomorrow, and then you got opening day Thursday, and then we create the bracket Friday.
Okay. We might have to push it till next week, but yeah, okay. I hear you. I just don't know if we're going to be able to get it done by then, but there's a chance. So this is interesting. Nikki goes, we need a reality bracket where like a Jason Bourne would be. A fantasy bracket where the Wick would be, and maybe a Statham. A Western, and then maybe like an all-time old world, right? Where you put the Gladiator, so you put Maximus, you put William Wallace, right? You go that route. We're gonna have to take.
Where would like Bruce Lee go?
In the reality, right?
Reality, you know, yeah.
Be reality. That's pretty awesome. We're going to have to take some time in constructing this bracket. This needs to be a work of art. All right, 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. It's Cuz Radio with the Chunis. Jeff McClain coming up next. We'll get back to your calls. Hanging out. Cuz Radio, 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
All right, welcome back in the land of Wick. Oh, this is the best. Cuz Radio with the Chunis. Hanging out. Don't forget our 12 o'clock hour brought to you by our good friends at Service First Heating and Air Conditioning. Learn more at servicefirsthvac.com. All right. As we hang out on this Tuesday, it is never dull. Never dull. And, you know, we talk a lot of Sixers. We got Phillies on the horizon. But we never stray too far from the birds, as you know it. And the Eagles, after, I think, a very good free agent period by Howie Rose. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see. You got the sets up for the draft. I have a plan. I have an idea of kind of what I want to do draft-wise. And that's why I can't wait to talk to our next guest. He's the best. The one, the only, Jeff McClain on the Comcast Business Hotline. Jeffrey!
Anthony, how are you?
All right, so I got, before we get into our conversation, you know, I always hit you with odds and ends stuff.
Yeah, what do you got?
Are you a Wicksman? Are you like John Wick?
I've never seen the movie.
You never saw it. All right. You make it a point.
So that makes me not a John Wicksman.
You're not a Wicksman.
Nope.
No. Now I'll ask you this question. Now listen, I've not seen it either, and I made a promise to all the Wicksmen out there, especially after it crushed the box office again this week on over the weekend, that I would see it. And we're looking at the baddest mother fathers on the planet when it comes to fiction and cinema.
Oh yeah,
what would your who would be your baddest mother father in the history of fiction and cinema?
Ooh, like, so, like, someone who's kind of like a vigilante, kind of like, well, I guess Batman, right?
No? Yes, yes.
Or are you thinking that it can't be, like, kind of a...
No, no, like you're a, right, Batman. Yeah. Listen, dude, Chunas is all about the Batman.
He's a real human being. He's just a lunatic with a bat costume on, but he's a real human being.
He's a badass, yeah.
Damn right he is. Thank you, Jeff.
All right.
Now, who's your, who's
Anthony
your
thinks he could beat Batman up.
I can.
Yeah. All right. Maybe.
Who you got? You got me. You back me. You back your boy.
Yeah,
what?
There you go. Yeah. Well, it depends. Yeah, it depends what Batman.
I'll take Batman in the points.
Yeah.
First round KO.
I'll do that. You don't
lay. All right, fine.
Around.
Maybe I'll give you two.
Come how about on, Howie? Man. You take Howie or Batman?
I got Howie.
Right now, Howie, yeah, he's you know, he's got his moxie going right now.
That's right, that's it. Hey, let me get you this real quick, because now I heard there was nothing to this, but the Zeke Elliott stuff that's been out there, that he's narrowed the three teams to the Eagles, Jets, and Bengals. I mean, I hear the Eagles don't even, you know, have not offered him anything. I don't believe they should. And I think it's nonsense. This whole thing is just a plant by his people to drum up interest.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of the way the original report was phrased, or at least maybe there was a correction to it. No, from what I understand, that Zeke Elliott is not someone the Eagles are considering right now. Look, now, if the draft happens, they don't get anybody, and his market drops, and he's like, yeah, I'll take a veteran minimum deal, and, you know. But I don't even think they would do that, because I think – but there's certain guys that are that have been on teams for a long time, and I think when it comes to the Cowboys, I think the Eagles want to tread very carefully about acquiring those guys. Believe it or not, you may think it might not matter, especially if it's a good player. But I think that when kind of established Cowboys, especially like kind of the franchise types, come into Philadelphia, we've seen that that's not really kind of gone well. And I think Howie understands that dynamic. And I think that's, you know, cause I think the players in the locker room may always view them as like Cowboys. And I think he'd worry about that. And I think in the case of Zeke, that would certainly be, a dynamic that could play out. So I don't think it's a reality, at all, really.
I mean, I'll be honest with you. I think he's done. I've watched him extensively. I watch every one of their games. He's done. He's cooked. This idea he's low.
Maybe short yardage.
My idea of drafting Bijan Robinson is way smarter than going and getting a broken down back.
Yes. Now, I don't think they'll do that at 10. But if Bijan falls to the Eagles at 30, then, yeah, that would be something I think they could do.
Even if I got to trade up to in the 20s to make sure I get him, it makes sense.
Yeah, that definitely makes much more sense than Ezekiel Elliott. But hey, I don't think either will.
You know, and it's funny. I I'm going to die on the hill of the running back, because if you add a top flight running back to this offense, it just makes so much sense to do it. Because they think
Kenny's that guy if he's healthy, though.
Yeah, you know, and again, if he's healthy, it's a big if, because he has never been healthy.
Yeah, and they'll do something. I think they will come out of the draft or the post draft, you know, free agent spree with a running back that they think they'll throw them in the mix, and they may even like acquire another veteran that's kind of still out there on the market. I don't think it's gonna be Zeke, but someone maybe of that ilk, add him to the mix. But they have, you still have Gainwell, you still have Scott, you have Trey Sermon who's in that room.
I want to ask you about Sermon, because he's a guy that we talked about before. I loved him in college. You ever find out what happened with him in San Fran, and did they see anything from him at all? Did you ask about him?
Nick was asked about the running backs today, and he did kind of take a little bit of time to talk about Sermon, just how, like, you know, he didn't play much. He played in the one game against Jacksonville, but he said that, you know, he routinely amazed me at practice. You know, he'd make a move or this, that, or the other thing. And he'd be like, you know, this guy's got it. You know, like, he can certainly play at this level. It's just a matter of numbers for him. But there's a reason why he was behind those guys, too. So, you know, give him a look-see. We'll see if he has a strong offseason. You know, maybe he can make the roster again. But, you know, they have these other guys ahead of him at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just always curious about him and kind of what they saw, if they were ever going to give him. Because he's always a guy I thought, like, I'd like to give him a chance and see kind of what's out there, like what he's got, you know. I just loved him in Ohio State.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if he's 100% a stylistic fit for them, too. A big guy, but, you know, so anyway, yeah, that's it.
All right, so what was the story with Nick today?
He talked a little bit about, you know, obviously he's made some coaching changes or had to make them because Jonathan Gannon and Shane Steichen, who are here, are now head coaches, and talked a little about, obviously when we spoke on Combine, they just promoted Brian Johnson, talked a little bit about, you know, what he likes out of Brian and a little more about kind of living with Sean Desai, since he's hired him as defensive coordinator. He did kind of like put to bed the whole Denard Wilson thing. I think they probably would have kept him, but I think Denard was not particularly pleased about being passed over. He said, okay, I'm going to go elsewhere and try my chances there. And then just to, you know, obviously he's got a new linebackers coach. They're going to have a new defensive backs coach. So Nick talked a little bit about the coaching staff, talked a little bit about, you know, how some of these younger guys are going to have to step up with players moving on. So you're talking about Cam Jurgens potentially a right guard.
Who?
Cam Jurgens potentially a right guard. Reed Blankenship right now, I guess, on the depth chart, you have him as a starting safety. And then, of course, Jordan Davis and Milton Williams. I mean, so, you know, he was kind of like ran the gamut. I mean, we only got a half hour with him. Typically, you get an hour here, so didn't really get to delve too deeply into certain topics. But I think with Nick, you know, especially with this Eagles team, I mean, you know, yes, there was free agency, and there were some moves that I think maybe people questioned, or I guess C.J. Gardner-Johnson being probably the most prominent, or maybe bring back Fletcher Cox. But for the most part, this team... You know, still, there's still a lot of talent on it. Everyone still thinks that this team, especially on the offensive side of the ball, will compete. And they still have the draft, and they still have a trade market if how he needs to address certain areas as well.
Yeah, I you know, you still have, you know, I think you still have, you know, a lot of, you know, maneuverability. You still have a lot of that left. I don't know. I can't. Did he feel good about it? Because I think, you know, leaving. With your two corners, you expected to lose, you know, what you did. I expect to lose one of the corners. So I think coming back to it, I feel pretty good about it.
Yeah, that question was sort of posed to Howie. And he said that as well. He's like, if you told me before the draft that I'd be able to keep both Slay and Bradbury and, you know, bring back and still, you know, Kelsey, still have to pay Kelsey, BG, Fletch, you know, I would have said, I'd have been happy. And the Hargrave one, I think, was a tough pill to swallow because, again, he's 2 years younger than Fletch. He's more productive. I think he's a guy that probably in more ways than even Fletch himself helped Fletch kind of have a rebound season. And then now all of a sudden you have to bring Fletcher back. You know, he took a pay cut and he could have gotten more elsewhere. So maybe you're a little happy about that. But, you know, that defensive tackle position now is all of a sudden feels a little different. And those young guys are going to have to step up. You're going to have to put Jordan Davis and Milton Williams in the positions where they're going to have to make plays. And there's a little bit of an unknown there. But I think overall, I think Howie's kind of happy the way free agency turned out.
Yeah, I got to believe that. I do. What's the big talk down there? What is the big talk going on?
League-wise? I mean, it's funny, you know, when you come to these those round tables, AFC coaches yesterday and the NFC coaches this morning, and you know, there have been years past where like you show up and we have to get here really early if you want to get a seat at the table for your coach, because like, you know, I remember being here in 2015 after the whole kind of Chip and Howie debacle, that was a big topic of conversation, so you have to show up early and be national media attention directed to your team. You know, not as much with obviously Nick this year, and this is a team that came off the Super Bowl. It was right to the left of him was, Matt LaFleur. And that he was mobbed because that's Aaron Rodgers is like, you know, what he, you know, his future, what's going to happen with him and the Jets. And like that right now is kind of a huge topic here. So yeah, you know, Harbaugh was another one yesterday because of Lamar Jackson. So the quarterbacks typically, and that's, you know, the Eagles have a little bit of a question there too with Jalen Hurts. And not just him, but Joe Burrow and how, you know, so that's the topic of conversation is like how, you know, what's going to happen. It's always about the quarterbacks, right? And
yeah. It's like what's the time frame?
Yeah. How's what's the time frame? Out?
Who's the guy with the dominoes?
Yeah. So, yeah. And I'm sure that there's probably some a little feeling out process between, you know, they can't really, how we can't talk to them because that would be collusion. But, I think you want to get a sense of, okay, could Burrow drop and, or could Herbert drop, and how's that going to affect the whole Jalen negotiations? But I think, you know, Howie has to be careful and just kind of just work at his own pace and, you know, in Jalen's own pace and figure out what works best for both of them.
So when the Rodgers thing obviously is a big deal, any idea of where Lamar, like, where do you think? Because I would assume that he winds up in the NFC.
I guess. I mean, it was kind of convenient how, or he must have planned it, that, you know, someone put out there that he wanted to he wants to be traded right at about the same time that John Harbaugh was at was at his roundtable press conference. So it's hard to see him staying in Baltimore. I guess I can't rule that out, but wherever he ends up. I mean, the funny thing was Robert Kraft. I wasn't in on this press conference, but, you know, I've been reported he put out there that Meek Mill told Kraft that Lamar wants to play for the Patriots. And he quickly put in, well, that's not something I handle. That would be Bill Belichick. Because if he didn't mention that, that would be against the rules. but it's funny how he put that out there. Yeah. Imagine Lamar with Belichick.
Meek.
Yeah.
Well, I think he's getting involved. He's brokered the deal.
Yeah. Isn't that funny?
Could you imagine if he goes to that division? So you would have the Bills with Kelly. Oh, my God. You'd have the Bills with Josh Allen. You would have the Jets with Rodgers, right? You have, you know, all you need is Brady to come back out of retirement and go play for the Dolphins.
Which is right. That's what everyone says. That's if he's coming out, they keep saying that's the team.
Yeah. Did you see, like, so what, is there a lot of rumors going on there with him? Because he shows a picture of himself playing football at the beach.
Yeah. I it's probably maybe a more meaty guys than anyone kind of associated with the league, because I really don't like, it's not really my avenue and I really care. But they'll just be like, all I keep being told was like, meh, don't 100% rule it out. You know, like, and then I think
So
can you imagine that Brady back in the AFC East, Lamar at the Patriots, and then you got,
God.
That'd be epic.
Meanwhile, when you look at the NFC, there's nothing in the NFC. The Eagles, so the win totals came out yesterday in Vegas, and the Eagles were 10.5. And they were actually plus money to win the division at plus 110. I got to be honest with you. I mean, they're going to win more than, you're going to tell me this team's not going to win 11 games? I get the schedule's going to be a little tougher. But
yeah.
11-6, I mean, that's their bottom, I think.
Yeah, I guess they're looking at the schedule, and then just to, you know, typically how most teams that have lost Super Bowls the following year, it's tough. I mean, a lot of them fall off. But, you know, that's all kind of circumstantial. I think you got to look at the roster still, and especially on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, they're losing Miles, right? They're losing Isaac Seumalo, but they have Cam Jurgens waiting in the wing at right guard. I'm not saying he's going to be as good as Isaac, especially initially, because he's a center. And then at the running back position, I mean, that's, you know, the offensive line and Jalen Hurts are more valuable to the run game than I think than any running back that they have. I know people in Philadelphia think that that's not the case. That's the case. And that's, if you look around the league with the way running back position is valued, everyone else thinks that's almost like a fact. It's not even a subjective take. So I think the offense is still, they're going to still score points. They're going to be good, you know, I mean, barring injury. The defensive side of the ball is, there's a lot of questions there. But, you know, Howie, you still have strength at the edges with Hassan Reddick and Josh Sweat. You shored up both your cornerbacks. I mean, the middle of the field was an issue last year. It's going to be an issue again because you're just kind of redoing both the linebacker and the safety positions. But you can't, you got to go light somewhere. And if you're going to go light somewhere on the defensive side of the ball, that's where the Eagles are typically going to go light.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you sat down with Desai yet about philosophy?
No.
Nothing. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
No, we haven't got them yet. Yeah. I think in these next coming weeks, they're going to set stuff up with the new coordinators.
Yeah, because I'm curious. You know, obviously he comes from the same scheme, right? So they believe, you know, philosophically in that scheme. However, there is still a way to call the games differently within the scheme.
Correct. Yes. And I think, you know, when people hear that he's from the Fangio school and you know, he's not going to blitz a lot. He's going to play a fair amount of off. He's going to play a lot of quarter zone. He's going to try and limit the explosive plays. Yes, those are all part of core beliefs of that scheme. But, you know, it's also a lot of it has to do with how you call plays and how you handle that in-game management, and that, et cetera. And, you know, I think that was probably the one thing that Jonathan Gannon probably came on the lesser side of the ledger on. I thought John, as we talked many times before, good defensive coordinator. I think that was probably the one area he lacked. I don't think the scheme was never an issue to me, and it wasn't even as much. And the philosophy was an issue to me. It was just at times there were some of the calls that I just didn't understand them, and they got burned.
Yeah, I mean that's just the bottom line. I mean, you know, certain things about lining, like how you line up, you know, when you do pressure. And where you're playing your corners. I mean, you know.
You mentioned a key, I think, I wouldn't say a huge difference, but I think it's one of the things that I've heard that is a little different that, and I thought we'd see more out of this from Jonathan, just because that's why you want multiple fronts. Every team has multiple fronts, but like, I think when you're running a team that has a 3-4 front on rundowns or whatever you want to call 5-2, is the pre-snap look and then dropping guy just having different kinds of rushes based off of that. And it seems like Desai mixes his things up more. At least he did in the 1 year that he was defensive coordinator of Chicago. He was more apt to send overload rushes which look like blitzes technically aren't because you're only still sending four guys. But that's, you know, that causes confusion for the offensive line and the quarterback. And I think that was one of the areas in which Desai had a lot of success. And I think that could be the biggest difference that you'll see from him. Versus
I mean, that's listen. I know that you know Spags gets it from Jim Johnson, but like what those guys do is they're not blitzing all the time, but it's about who's dropping back, what are you showing, right? You got to be able to mess with the quarterback a little bit, and I think you know that's the thing that Gannon. That I just was disappointed in. I expected more. You know, and I'm curious about how does the rest of the league take to Sirianni? You know, and, you know, there was a lot of the celebration and some people were picking at him for that stuff. How do you feel like the rest of the league kind of views Nick?
Well, I think with, like, Nick, there's, like, two Nicks, you know. There's, like, the Nick who isn't in-game mode and looks almost like a psycho. And then there's... and then there's like the out of game Nick, and he's just like this kind of cordial, amiable fella, you know. So I think like the guys who know Nick don't really pay much attention to that. Maybe the guys who don't know him probably get a little perturbed by that, and rightfully so. But I think Nick likes to have fun with it. I think, and I think he kind of almost like welcomes that label a little bit. I think in Philadelphia, it's probably kind of a refreshing thing to have, to have someone with that kind of confidence in himself and in his players and not afraid to share the emotion. So I don't, you know, I guess maybe the referees think differently. I mean, they seem to be the ones that get the brunt of Nick's, you know, Nick's ire. But no, I think Nick's well liked.
That's cool. It's funny. I really have come to, I just think they hit a home run with him. I do. I think they hit a home run. I think he's sharp. I think he's a good coach, man. I think he's the kind of guy that could be, you know, the Andy Reid 2.0 and stay for a decade type of guy.
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, he's very detail oriented. You need to be. I think he may mesh well better with Howie than any of the coaches that they've had. And yeah, that's a big part of, you know, the success, that a lot of the success of a team depends upon that dynamic, that coach GM dynamic.
I agree.
And,
yes.
And I think like they kind of almost counterbalance each other. I don't think Nick is a shrinking violet. Howie obviously runs personnel and Howie makes the final decisions on that. But I think, you know, there are tough conversations that are had, about players. And I think, you know, it'll be interesting to see how Nick kind of, utilizes the sway he may have now in the building after getting his team to the Super Bowl. I don't think he's going to come and say, I want this, that, or the other thing. But I think that he has opinions on players more than Doug did. So we'll see.
Yes.
I mean, that's what, and then the whole coaching thing. I mean, that's kind of where things started to go downhill, was after they lost Frank and then they lost, you know, a couple of assistants. And then Jeffrey and Howie weren't particularly pleased with how Doug was handling that. And they stepped in and then Howie didn't feel like that was their place. And so it'll be interesting to see how, you know, the moves that Nick made this offseason or if Howie had any influence on that or Jeffrey did and how that plays out. From my understanding, these were Nick's guys. These were Nick's hires. Howie certainly helped in the process. But that's where things kind of got shaky with Doug. And my sense right now is that it's not anywhere near close to that.
Yeah, that's good. That's good stuff. As always, great stuff from you, Batman. I appreciate it as always. The great Jeff McClain on the Comcast Business Hotline.
All right, talk to you guys. Talk to you soon.
All right, buddy. Here he is. Jeff McClain, Inquirer.com. Always fun talking birds. We'll get it back. 610-632-0975. The Jackals in Denver taking their shots. We got some Philly stuff to do. And Wick. Be afraid, Judas. Be afraid of Wick. All right, boys.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, welcome back. How's Radio Judas? As we approach 1 o'clock on this Tuesday, Tunis. What happened with JT? Why did JT get thrown out?
So, it seems like this umpire is a little punk, and maybe he's trying to make a name for himself or something. So, yesterday, in the spring training game, Craig Kimbrell got called for the pitch clock violation. You have to do it within 15 seconds or 20 seconds if there's a runner on base. And he violated the pitch clock. So when Kimbrel's walking off the mound, he's got a ball in his hand, and he does the old, he gets rid of it, right? Because baseball players can't use the same baseball twice, which I never understand. I'm a big baseball guy, never understood that. So he tosses the baseball, and JT puts the glove up, thinking that the umpire would place it into his glove, and he would throw it to Kimbrel. He threw it right to Kimbrel. The umpire did, like some umpires do. Kimbrel didn't like the ball, for whatever reason, and threw the ball away. The umpire, JT then put his glove up, and the umpire grabbed another ball from a sack, and JT then remembered, he just threw the ball to Kimbrel. So he put his glove down. And as he put his glove down, the umpire was putting it into his glove, so it fell on the ground. The umpire's initial reaction was to think, oh my God, JT Realmuto just showed me up. I'm going to toss him from this game.
Are you serious?
Dead serious. And so JT literally turned around. The best part is JT Realmuto doesn't seem like he has the best personality, but I feel like he's really good at the, bro, really? Because remember the Jared Hughes moment a few years ago, the reliever, when he rolled his eyes?
Yes.
And that was that clip went viral, obviously. He kind of just has that, really, we're doing this kind of reaction. So when he tossed him, he turned around, he was like, dude, I thought you were throwing it back to Kimbrel. And there's this guy on Twitter, John Boy, who breaks down all the ejections. He slows down the clip so he can read what they're saying. And that's literally what he said. He's like, dude, I thought you were throwing the ball back. I wasn't showing you up.
You're right.
And yes, you were. You were showing me up. And Thompson came out. And then it got to the point where the umpire after ejecting him, you could tell he knew he was in the wrong, the umpire, to the point where he was like, well, that's just the way it is, when he had nothing else to say. So thank God this was a spring training game. But that guy should have a long talk with the crew chief or whatever umpire association. The crew chief did speak after the game, or the head of that group. He said he had no problem with it because he's backing this guy up. But that's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
Yeah, for just putting the glove down and not catching the ball. He wasn't even looking at him.
Yeah.
It's not like he was looking at him and going, here, put it in my glove. And then he moved his hand. You know what I mean? It's not like it's the Peanuts. You know, Charlie Brown trying to kick the football.
Right.
He wasn't even looking. He put his glove up and then he remembered, oh, wait, he's throwing it back to Kimbrel. So he put his glove down and then the guy took exception to it. It was ridiculous. That umpire should be suspended immediately.
So Phil's losing 4-1 to Toronto right now. Bailey Falter lasts only an inning and 2/3, 4 runs on 4 hits and 3 walks. No strikeouts.
Yeah, he's having a tough go with it.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, buddy. You know, I mean, not for nothing.
It's your fifth starter.
They need him, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Now, again, I said this a couple weeks ago. He was great down the stretch last year.
Right.
But they shaped the rotation so that he was pitching against, like, the Nationals and the Marlins.
Right.
He wasn't going up against the Blue Jays, you know, the Yankees.
Yeah.
So he might be, you always mention the word the 4A player, right? He might be great against teams like that. And he'll give you a good spot start once in a while. He's not a bum. He doesn't stink. But he just might not be a guy you're going to depend on for a full season. And the only reason why he's in the rotation is because of the injuries.
I know. They just got to be able to get through the first half of the season.
Yeah, because if you think about it, he was slated as the sixth starter. If Painter made the club, which we thought he would, then obviously Suarez is healthy. He's sixth. So he's not even in the rotation. Because of the injuries, he's now your fourth starter. And you have to have Strom, who is a reliever, be your fifth starter.
Yeah,
they're just kind of dealing with it right now.
I mean, listen, and they got hit left and right. Right? Like, they got hit left and right when it came to that. Came to injuries. I mean, that's going to be the one thing that we talk about. You know, hopefully it's just a rash now, and then, you know, they're able to, you know, to kind of just get through this piece of it. I want to get back to the phone lines in a second, but a moment of silence. Please, your prayers are needed. Tunis Shams tweeted out today, the Nets have ruled out Ben Simmons for the remainder of the season.
Oh, no.
Simmons is beginning a rehab program on his back. Would that be lying on his back? A rehab program on his back, according to Jock Vaughn.
This guy's a joke.
So there it is.
I can't wait for that story to come out. Like,
Ben
the whole
is
thing
out for the remainder of the season. I mean, is he just done? I mean, the problem is, like, you know, when it comes to the money, like, he's not going to give up the money.
Well,
either.
That's the thing. Is he a bench guy making league minimum after this contract's up? Maybe.
That's unbelievable, dude.
But he might think a lot more of himself and won't take a league minimum deal. That's another thing. And he doesn't have a powerful agent anymore because they split up.
Right.
Well, he was broken up with, but you know what I'm saying.
Right, right. That's wild, is it not?
This could be the last we've ever seen of him.
Yep.
It could be. He's got 1 year left, I think, on this on the max deal.
But again, you know, he's a guy, you know, I can't see him walking away from the money and the life. Right?
The next question is, do the Nets start withholding money?
Yeah.
I mean, the Sixers just the Sixers did it, and he got some of it back. Remember, they went to the court and all that stuff?
Yeah. Isn't it wild, man? It's an amazing story. Amazing story. It really is. All right, let's go to T-Love. You're on 97.5, the Fanatic T-Love.
Yo, what's going on, fellas?
What's now, up, T-Love? What's happening?
Listen, hey, imagine, man, I'm riding along, and I'm listening like I always do, and I hear somebody call up and say, this is T-Love.
You're probably like, what's going on, man?
Come on, man. What is that about?
Well, I didn't know. About? I thought it was you because I don't know what's on the other end.
I heard you pause for a second.
Yeah, I was like, "Why? That's not T-Love." Yeah.
Come on, man.
It's funny, man. You have a lot. There's T-Loves out there. It's pretty wild.
Okay. Yeah, I guess it is, man. And you know, every guy with an A and a Rodriguez in his name is A-Rod, right? So that's how it goes, right? But so now when I call, I got to say this is the real T-Love.
Oh, you got to do the real, like it's like you're on the verified on Twitter. That's
Yeah. How about that? Hey, I was just calling, man, to say, man, I heard Perk the other day, man, and that guy, man, is so ridiculous at times, man. You know, he got a vote. I got a vote, and I got to see these guys got to play. You got to come. If he can play, you can play. Man, come on, man. Did you not see every time they play, this guy dominates, Embiid dominates this guy every time they play?
I know.
Every time they play.
It's ridiculous. It's
just crazy. I mean, who was the guy? Who was the first pick in the All-Star game? You know? And who was near the last? You know? And these guys know.
I know.
They know. I don't understand, Perk, man. Like you were saying earlier, 47-18 the last time they played. You know what I'm saying? What more does this guy got to prove? You know?
I don't understand it. I got to be honest with you. I used to, you know. And everybody, like, if you're Kendrick Perkins, you know, I understand you're a hot taker and you need all this other nonsense, but, like, you know the league. It's three games and four nights with the third game being in the Denver, the altitude. I mean, that's what it is. So the guy's banged up, and it is what it is. It's the playoffs, man. You're going to worry about the playoffs.
Like you said, you got to make a story, so why not start with that, you know? But, if you go back and look at this, moving on to the baseball thing, if you look at that little excerpt where, Real Muto has his glove back and he has it there for a few seconds and nothing's happening. And so he moves his glove and then the guy decides to drop the ball and the ball starts, the next thing you know, he's throwing him out. It looks worse than what Tunis explained to you. Tunis gave it the Band-Aid explanation. But it looks a lot more ridiculous when you see it.
Yeah.
It really is bad, man. That's crazy. And what you guys were talking about, I'm going to move it along because I know you got. But as far as the bad guys go, the badasses, you got the grandfather badasses, and there's two of them. And that's Schwarzenegger and Stallone, you know, and Stallone as Rambo.
Remember, we got to go characters too. So we're going to go with the characters.
I'm going to give you Rambo for Stallone.
All right.
And I'm going to give you three to Terminator for Schwarzenegger, Commando, Schwarzenegger, and I don't know why he didn't do more of these movies, but. Who was the guy, man? I just ran out my head. Conan the Barbarian.
Why? You're going to go Conan?
Conan, man.
Wow.
He was chopping heads, man.
You're going to go Barbarian.
With Grace Jones.
Yeah. Grace Jones.
Come on.
I love it, T-Will. That's hysterical. That's good stuff, my brother. Thank you.
Commando Schwarzenegger is a great one.
Yes.
Did you ever see that movie?
I have.
He just rolls up to, like, you know, an island against a whole army with just, like, his utility belt of guns.
Yeah, man.
And takes down a whole army by himself.
You kidding me?
Carried a bazooka with him. Yeah, he just had a duffel bag. He was like, all right, this should be good.
You don't mess, you know, that he was nasty. That is a good one. I cannot wait to do this. This actually will be hysterical. Let's go to Will. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Yo, Will.
Hey, Andrew. Pleasure to be on with you. This is only my second time calling in years. I have two badasses for you.
Oh, yeah? Good. I love it.
Both from the same movie. One's only an honorable mention. One won't make it. One's the protagonist. One's the antagonist. I'll give you the one that shouldn't be in at first, and that was Bill Stranek, played by Tommy Lee Jones. And he was the antagonist. And the
Yeah, he was good. Yeah.
Then the protagonist was Chief Casey Ryback, played by Steven Seagal. That needs to be in it. He needs to be in it. If he doesn't, I'm showing up at One Ballot Plaza, and I'm marching up there, and heads are going to roll, because that was one of the greatest 1980s action figures of all time.
Yeah, it was on the boat, right? It was
He was just a lowly cook, but
he was really special
forces, and you know, Navy SEAL and all that. But he was finishing his duty as a cook because he struck one of his officers in command, and
that's right,
the captain
that's
of the ship brought him in under his wing. That was
Have you seen that, Tunis?
I have actually. It's great.
It is great.
They had the dancer coming out of the cake.
Yes.
Yeah, that was a good one. Yeah, that was a good one.
Dude, I want to crock you right now.
Listen, man.
Dude,
there's a couple action movies that I've seen. Don't worry.
I watch that twice a year. Once Christmas Eve, and then usually at the end of the night. Me and my dad will watch it together. It's a phenomenal movie. It's one of my favorites.
Oh, dude, that's awesome. I got to tell you, that's classic. Well, I forgot about Seagal, man. He's old school.
There's a couple good ones there. A lot of stinkers, too, but he had a couple shining diamonds.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll give you that. I'll definitely give you that.
But perfect. That's it. Thank you,
all right,
guys.
Good stuff, my brother. Thank you. I'm surprised you knew that one, Bo.
Yeah, I've seen actually a good amount of action movies. You know me. I'm not the biggest movie guy, but action movies are easy to put on and sit back and watch. You think I've seen, would you have guessed that I've seen Commando? That's an older movie, too.
Yes, but...
That's early Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, but I don't know. I would expect that because that's a popular movie, you know?
Is it? I feel like that's not even one of his, more talked about movies.
Yeah.
Oh, you got Predator and you got... Terminator.
No, it's still impressive. Come on. No?
Nobody ever talks about Commando. They always say Terminator and Predator.
Well, I think it's certainly badass worthy.
Oh, for sure, yeah. I just don't think it gets that much love.
Chuck, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Chucky!
Urbano!
What's going on, Urbano?
What's up, Urbano? Tunis, how you feeling, man?
What's up, man?
I saw the high school pic, man. You look like you look now. Good pic, man.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, just a little bit more hair in that one.
Yeah, just a little bit. I said Tunis took this picture today and posted it to my high school pic.
I gotta tell you, the hair was great.
It was a good flow.
Yeah, the hair was great.
I had the flow going pretty well. It was a big day when I got a cut, and I got a lot of applause for it. But it was just, looking back at it, the flow was good.
Yeah, I was like, okay, Tunis looking like the 90210 kids. I was like, okay. hey, cuz, I'm a little nervous about our first base situation.
Is that our final? Is that it? I mean, they're not going to. You don't think they're going to try to find someone else? They're just going to go.
No, you got to give Derek Hall a shot. Like I really believe you got to give Hall a shot and give him a chance to hit lefties and see where he's at, because he's natural power, right? He's a natural power. I mean, you see the kid can just mash the baseball against right-handers. If he could possibly hit, you know, plus fastball, guys who throw hard from the right side and get you some lefty at-bats, and I think, you know, he should be able to hit you, you know, 20 bombs.
Okay.
So you gotta give him a shot. And then here's, if I'm the Phillies, right, I do nothing until I get to July, because then I can look at, what do I need a right-handed power bat? What do I need? And then I can look at it from there. I mean, obviously the injuries are the injuries. If you can get your rotation healthy and you're good there, you know you're going to be good bullpen. And then the only other thing you're going to look at is, do I need a right-handed power bat? And that you can get around the deadline.
Yeah, I hope it works out. I'm pleased with Trey Turner already. He hasn't even played the official first game of the season yet.
He's the man.
Yeah. I need Bijan.
Dude, I want Bijan too. And, you know, Jeff was like, kind of lukewarm. I'll be honest with you. Hey, look, Penny, I mean, like, I've seen him break a couple runs. And, he's got ability.
Yeah, he's a good backup running back. You say he's a good backup running back, a spell back. But Bijan, it hurts.
Oh, in the backfield, dude. Yes.
In the red zone, you can't stop Goddard, AJ, or Smith in the red zone, especially Hurts. And you put Bijan back there.
Yes.
Pick your poison,
dude. I'm with you, man. Give me Bijan all day. How about that offense? That offense would be ridiculous. And you're going to tell me how he's a master at the trade? Listen, you're not going to take him at 10. He's not going to. That's too early. He'll probably go somewhere in the early 20s. So if that's the case, then you just trade back up to go get him. That's the move. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. That's the number.
Now, quick question. I need a ruling on this. Yes, this is from Nick. I say no, but I'll ask you. He said, for the badass bracket, what about Iron Man? He goes, he's like Batman. He has no powers. He just has gadgets. But to me, his gadgets are like, they could use them in war. Like, they're weapons of mass destruction, his gadgets. Whereas, you know, Batman has ninja stars.
Well, see, Iron Man.
Let's just face it. Iron Man would
greater than Batman.
Yeah, but
you're
Iron Man,
the same guy.
Iron Man would win.
Iron Man is just a rich dude.
No, but
too.
Iron Man would win the entire.
He's smarter.
Okay, he's a rich dude, but he didn't learn how to fight. He learned how to shoot a laser at people. He would win. The tournament would be over. You wouldn't even have to do it if Iron Man's in it. He just blows everybody up. Game over.
Well, I mean, Wick would have a shot.
What, with a gun against his iron vest that would bounce off
Wick,
him?
Wick would figure a way out.
He'd laugh at it, and then he'd shoot the laser
Wick,
at him.
But part of the thing is, Wick, you also have to give, you got to give people a shot, right? Like, you got to give, like, you know, the ingenuity of a Wick.
Yeah, but he also, Iron Man isn't working alone.
Though, like, Maximus is just in a toga. Maximus was killing tigers.
Yeah, cool.
So
yeah.
I know that the Iron Man is definitely.
He would not lose. He also has that the helper, the computer system. He's not even by himself. He wins. It's over.
Yeah, when he has the talking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She sees when there's an attack coming, saying, turn around, Iron Man, and now use your laser and blow him up. Game over.
But you have to admit, Iron Man way better than Batman.
Depends on the conversation. Like,
seriously. They're both the same guy. They're the rich guy. And it just so happens that Iron Man is just a smart
Batman
dude.
Batman went through Batman's trials and tribulations learning how to fight.
Half a dunk.
Iron Man got a heart and he gets a suit.
Now, listen. He built that thing out of nothing. Come on, it was brilliant. He had put the thing in his chest to stay alive.
Yeah, no, it's impressive.
I mean, he's genius. That man's in half a dome. He was born on third base. Had a butler. I mean, stop with Batman.
You're Batman.
That man's
ridiculous.
Born on third base guy. The Iron Man is a true genius.
Yeah, and he'd win easily.
I'm just saying, you know, we got to discuss it. All right. 610-632-0975. It's Cuz Radio with the Judas.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, 122 across the Delaware Valley. Cuz Radio with the Chunas. Are you worried? Like, it's funny because, right, so are you worried about the Phillies? We're going to do heavy baseballs, you know, obviously tomorrow, and then definitely on Thursday it will be an ode to baseball. But are you worried at all about the injuries? Like when you think about it, because it's funny, every story that I read, you know, is you know, has the Phillies like freaked because of all the injuries, and I don't think they're taking into account the Turner acquisition, the fact that Bryce will be back pretty early, and I think their bullpen is really good. Now you need Ranger back at pretty quickly, but. You know, I mean, the rotation's strong. When you got Ranger back, you know, that's a strong four. And I love their bullpen, especially when you compare it to the rest of the division.
Yeah, look, I think they might come out the gates a little slow. We had the caller, yesterday that was saying, oh, Rob Thompson, it's going to be tough for him, blah, blah, blah. And he just seemed like a miserable dude, the guy that we spoke to yesterday. But they might come out the gate slow. They got the Rangers. We went through the rotation. They got three good arms in DeGrom, Eovaldi, and Perez, right? Like, that's a pretty good start for Texas. And then you got the Yankees in New York. So the first six games, you might come out the gate a little slow. You're going to depend on Wheeler and Nola to give you some good outings. Taiwan Walker is going to give you a good outing. And like you said, the bullpen's great, too. If you didn't have Trey Turner, I'd be, I guess, bummed out going into the season after the Reese injury. And I'm still bummed out by the Reese injury because you lost 30-80, right? Like, that's no joke. It's not something you just ignore. But because you have Trey Turner, and we just saw him play on the world stage at an elite level, and that's the kind of player that he is. Maybe not that many home runs, but that's the kind of player that he is where no moment's too big for him. You still feel very good about this team. And once Bryce Harper comes back, which is going to be earlier than expected when the injury first happened, and you'll have Ranger Suarez back at that point, and he'll be stretched out at that point, you're going to be sitting pretty. And this team is going to be one of these, you sit back, put your feet up, and really enjoy the ride. Obviously, and I don't even bring it up that much anymore because it is obvious, the Castellanos thing. If he's the same player he was last year, they probably have a problem on their hands. Like, I'll leave it at that.
I mean, yeah, listen, he's got to hit.
Has to.
You need that power from the right side without Reese. I mean, that just goes down to it. I mean, you know, and it's easy for me to say, hey, wait till the deadline, because I'm saying that believing that Castellanos is going to hit a little bit. I'm not saying he's got to, you know, he's got to go lead the league in homers, but he's got to. He went through that homer drought over the last 2 months. You remember?
It was 2 months.
I mean, it was 2 long months. Like, he's going to have to hit the ball out of the park. And a good sign is he's got, what, 3 in the spring so far?
Sounds about right. And so, look, he had 13 home runs last year. If he can get to 20, and oh, by the way, he only had 27 doubles. If he can get back into the mid-30s with that, you know, it's a little bit different, especially when he's going to be in the middle of the order. And he's going to be driving in runs. He's batting 4th today, going up against a left-handed arm, so a lot of people think that might be the left-handed lineup to start the season against a left-handed pitcher. But, you know, I don't know. If he's the same player as last year, it's going to be troublesome.
No, I'm expecting him to be much better. I'm expecting him to be a legitimate source of run production. I mean, that's what's on the back of the baseball card.
Yeah, and that's why I don't even say it half the time anymore, because it's the obvious, right? Like, you need more from Castellanos. You're going to get yours from Real Muto. You're going to get yours from Trey Turner. We all expect Alec Bohm to still be the solid hitter that he is, but maybe even bring some more pop this year. That's kind of what I'm expecting. A little bit more home run power out of Alec Bohm this year. And then you got Schwarber. I mean, Schwarber's going to hit 35-plus home runs again. Like, that's who he is. So he's going to do that. And then when you get Harper back, that's going to change a lot of stuff for you.
Yeah, well, that's everything. I'm hoping that Hall's my man, Derek Hall. You know, that's my boy.
So, well, I know. You feel very confident in him. I don't yet.
I'm not telling you he's going to, you know, be Reese. I just liked him. We had a great conversation about hitting. So, you know, I'm hopeful. I don't know. I mean, I saw raw power from him last year. If he learns to hit a little bit, then that should improve. Because you know he can hit the ball out of the yard.
Yeah, that definitely. I did the show with Jamie this past Saturday, and he said, like, what are you looking for him? Like, if you just did home runs and RBIs this year. I said I'd be happy based off of what I saw if I had 18 bombs and 60 ribbies. That seemed fair.
What did he give you last year?
Huh?
What did he give you last year?
Let's see here. I think he hit 9 home runs, maybe.
I thought he had double digits. Now he didn't get double digits.
All right,
hold on. I'm curious. All right.
Trying to pull up the old baseball reference, but sometimes that website is funky.
When you get it, let me know. VG.
9 home runs, by the way.
Nine
home runs, 16 RBIs.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping.
Well, he's going to get a lot more chance now.
Right, he played 41 games. So if he's playing close to 100 or more than 100, I'm hoping for.
That's 20 right there.
18 and 60.
Yeah.
Right? Does that seem like that's. I'm not expecting 30 and 80 like Reese Hoskins.
He's got real power. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, if he plays 100 games, then, yeah, I got to get 20 home runs at him. Batman is a millionaire with access to all kinds of gadgets, weapons, cars, suits, inventions. But Batman with just a gun or a knife, he's in trouble. So, you know, you're Batman, love. I got to tell you.
Who's saying he's in trouble?
VG, he's true. He's right.
With just a gun and a knife?
Yeah. Wick would bleep him up.
Probably. I'm not comparing him to Wick.
So would Brian. I love this movie. Brian. He's
Brian Mills.
Brian. From Taken. He's Liam Neeson. Brian would mess with Brian over Batman. Come on.
All yeah, probably.
Day. Right? All right, let's go to Henry. Henry, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's happening, Hen?
If Liam Neeson didn't have that voice, he wouldn't have his own movies. Second of all, Batman kicked Liam Neeson's ass in the original Batman Christian Bale movie.
That's right. That's right. No, he's in the movie. That's right.
Oh, you're talking about the real Liam Neeson. But Brian?
Yeah, well, all right. If you're going characters, that's fair. But Liam Neeson himself,
Yeah, I can do without.
Okay, so you don't like the voice.
I think that's all he's got. If he doesn't have a voice, he's just a dad who can't control his kids. You know?
That's a great line.
And I got a Mount Rushmore for you. I need judgment on.
All right. That was awesome. Okay.
Bernie Madoff, Frank Abagnale, that FTX dweeb, the crypto kid, and Ben
Simmons. Right, right. Wait, all right. Crypto dude, Madoff, Simmons.
Frank Abagnale. Frank Abagnale.
Oh, the Catch Me If You Can guy.
Yeah. Biggest fraud and money thieves of all time.
Wow. That's a great... Wow.
I don't think you see Ben Simmons in the NBA anymore. I think Tunis was right. I think his pride won't let him take a league minimum. But who in their right mind is going to pay him any more than that at this point?
Who's got a more hate to face? The FTX guy or Simmons? Wow.
Hate to face? Come on. Ben Simmons is a half-handsome fella. He's Australian, for Christ's sake. I mean, if they hate the person, I'd say Ben Simmons for sure. That's the number one pick that's been wasted. Yeah.
Right, right, right. Well, but Madoff is the worst. Right, he's like, subhuman.
They all stole money from people and ruined
lives. Frank Abagnale, he had a little charm to him.
Yeah, he had charm.
He was a swindler. What was his thing, too? He was a check forger?
Yeah. He was the first check forger, yeah.
Yeah. So,
I got two bad answers for you.
All right, who you got?
I don't know if you've seen the series. Well, the one's a series and a movie. Jack Reacher, the Tom Cruise character, and he's also in a series, Reacher. And James Reese, if you haven't seen The Terminal List, it's on Amazon Prime. It's so good. Both guys are ex-military guys that turn into, kind of solemn policemen for their own causes. But the James Reese.
So the Terminal List. And I thought somebody told me about this. So what's the deal?
It was a series of books first. So it deals with traumatic brain injuries. Him and his whole crew have brain tumors. They go into a mission that was supposed to wipe them out to cover up that they were given the brain tumor. I don't want to give too much away, but they were given the brain tumors essentially by medicine they were taking. But he survived and started to uncover it all and, brings everything crumbling down, House of Cards style. And
oh, wow.
It's very, very good. A second season actually coming out later next year, but, yeah, it's real good.
That's strong. I got to tell you.
Yeah.
Strong stuff, Henry. Good stuff, buddy. As always, thank you, brother. I got to watch. That sounds good. And of the thieves, Crypto v. Simmons is a strong match right there.
That is a strong match,
right? Crypto v. Simmons.
And Simmons was he's an NFT guy,
right? You know, that's new age thieves.
That's still going on.
What's that?
The NFTs.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I know that a lot of the players had the NFTs as their profile pictures, and I think they've since changed a lot.
Yes. Yes. Chris, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Yo, Chris.
Hey, guy. Great show, guys. The last call stole my thunder a little bit. Tom Cruise in Jack Reacher, as well as Mission Impossible.
Okay, Reacher. So it's another. Now I've not seen the Reacher movies. What's his deal?
Really good. It's really vigilante and really good. I don't know anybody said Denzel today. How do you not?
No, and it's funny. I have it written down. Right. In fact, you just said vigilante. Yes.
Equalizer and Man on Fire.
By the way, Alonzo's training day was nasty too.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
He was a bad mofo.
Dark horse for you is The Punisher.
The Punisher.
And another great movie. Ex-military guy. Family
I don't
killed,
know The Punisher. Who was The Punisher?
I forget the actor's name.
All right.
Great movie, though. You're Matt Damon, John Wick. I love both movies, but it's John Wick all day because Matt Damon spent most of those movies crying that he was tortured and my girlfriend died and they were injecting me with drugs. A lot of crying. So I don't like my vigilantes crying. And quick Eagles point. Please tell me they're not going to trade out of 10. Because there's four quarterbacks going to go before the 10th pick. They're going to get a marquee player at any position they want at 10. I really hope Howie doesn't trade back.
I mean, I'll be honest with you. I you know, I one thing when it comes to that, I trust him on that. You know, somebody, you're right. I mean, the quarterbacks are going to go up. I agree with you. And they should. They should be in a good position. So, the one thing I do want, though, I want the running back, man. I believe in the running back.
Quick question in your brackets, and I'll go. The Western bracket, why have one? Clint Eastwood winning that all day long. The closest guy I can think of is John Wayne, and he's getting double-digit points to try to beat Clint. Yeah. No way. Not going to happen. Yeah. Have a great show, guys.
All right, buddy. We appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, Clint. I mean, do we do a Western? I might have to do it more reality.
Honestly, dude, Western might be NIT.
Yeah.
I don't want to be disrespectful to the Western, but, you know, what are you going to do? Pow, pow, pow. Here's my rifle.
You love doing the Gannon, don't you?
Shots.
Pow, pow, pow.
Explosives. But seriously, you got a revolver and you got a rifle.
There's a lot of people like the Punisher. There's a lot of pro Punishers out there.
Okay.
John Berenthal's version, the best, according to Chaz. Has to be the Marvel series, not the movie. Chris says, we got to see the first Jack Reacher.
Yeah, I heard that's good.
Were you a Reacher, man?
No, I was not, but I heard it's good.
You didn't reach?
No.
Listen, I'm a boring guy. I have to be honest with you. You know, I mean, they torture poor Jason Bourne. Not for nothing, right or wrong.
I don't have to see the Reacher to figure it out.
No, Jason Bourne.
Yeah, he deserves to be up there.
I'm a big Bourne guy, dude. Phillies took the lead 5-4.
Huge.
Derek Hall single to center.
That's good.
For the go-ahead run. Getting his eye down, brother.
I like that.
All right.
I hope he's an everyday player.
That day you were looking to watch. The best was the our buddy from the Phillies, PR guy, who is...
Oh, you had him on a schedule.
No, it was my fault. It wasn't his fault. It was my fault. Because I could be yappy. And I was having a good conversation.
Yeah, you were deep in baseball talk. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. Uncle Frank, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Uncle Frank.
How's everyone? Happy Tuesday, boys.
Happy Tuesday to you, buddy.
Thank you. God, there's so much content in my head. Good Lord.
That means this call is going to go swimmingly.
I'm giving you a heads up. I'm giving you a heads up. I got to ask you guys, where in this planet of sports radio do you get a sports food and badass field of 64, I ask? Brilliant. Brilliant, I tell you.
Thank you, Uncle Frank. We appreciate it.
So I have two badasses. Leonidas is in the gladiator bracket.
Yes. And from the movie 300.
Yes.
Yeah, Leonidas. And, I agree.
Yes. And the wife helped, too, but hey. And then Denzel, the other guy got me, but Denzel in the first Equalizer, he takes out four Russian mobsters in 22 seconds.
Yeah, I got to tell you, that was fantastic.
Who does that? Certainly not John Wick, that vapid head. So,
he can't get down on Wick.
No, I know. I have to give him a chance.
I hear great things about it. I'm going to be all over the Wick at some point this weekend.
Andrew, Iron Man blows Batman into smithereens.
Yeah, I know he does, because he's got weapons of mass destruction. He literally has a suit. He has a suit that terrorists were trying to purchase and recreate. So, of course he does. He would beat anybody in this tournament, which is why he should not be eligible.
Oh, you're ass.
Terrorist groups tried purchasing. That's why they forced them to rebuild one.
Listen. If there's no Iron Man, there's no Batman.
Oh, hell.
I'm serious. Like,
here's the deal. Batman without a suit can still win a fight. Iron Man without a suit, he's just sipping, macchiatos all day.
Nah.
He can't win a fight.
I go Iron Man, no suit.
Who's he beating
versus
up?
Batman. He'll beat up Batman. Why, he's not going to beat up Ben Affleck?
Absolutely not. He won't beat up Christian Bale for sure.
Superman without a suit? What was he?
He's got superpowers. He wins too. He's got lasers coming out of his eyes.
No, Superman's out. Aquaman's out.
I think superheroes
Spidey's out.
Yeah, no superheroes. We've put this down hours ago, Uncle Frank. I thought we had a lot of content.
Sorry, Andrew. I do, but there's not enough time. You know who else was a badass? Was Ben Affleck in The Accountant. I know you don't like him, but he was bad.
No, that movie was horrendous.
Horrendous. All right, listen. Do I have time I can go two routes? The polarization of our fan base or the MVP rate?
Yeah, I don't care. Do whatever you want.
Yeah, pick one.
So it's your dime, my brother. Whatever you want.
Oh, God, this is hard. All right, so there's a segment of fans who, how the F-bomb do you want? Get rid of Embiid. I don't get it. There's a great expanse of polarization, in our fan base. And, hoops is a long, arduous season. You can't react over a couple games. I mean, you got to look at the broader picture. There's fans that don't want our team to advance because they don't want to get their heart ripped out of their chest. And there's some that think we're cursed. Why don't we live in Detroit and see how we fare with those teams? We are certainly not cursed.
Yeah, there's no curse. I agree with you. There's no curse. The Embiid stuff, I don't even understand it. I really don't. I don't get it. Is that it? You hung up on Uncle Frank without imploding him?
Yeah, let him go.
You didn't want to do that?
He's been zapped enough.
I thought you would want to do it like in Iron Man fashion. Yeah, my man Tony the Ref, The Accountant, sucked royally. That was horrible, that movie. Did you like it?
Never saw it.
Yeah, it was terrible.
I won't put
BG,
it on
list. Who thinks of tough guys and thinks of Batman?
He's not a one seed. Well, Batman kicks a lot of people's asses.
Who?
Yours.
Dude, I would bleep up some Batman.
It's the biggest lie you've ever said. There's no way.
Dude, please. Batman's got nothing. Listen, there's 10 dudes in South Philly right now that would beat him up, eyes closed. Are you kidding me? You want to give me Batman?
Well, man, he deserves to be in the field. 64? He's not a 16 seed.
I got news for you. I'm making him. He, to me, is the garlic knot of this tournament.
Wow.
He's the garlic knot of the tournament. I'm sorry, Tunis. I'm a big Tony Stark fan.
He shouldn't even be in the competition.
Well, again, he's the same as Batman. They're both rich dudes.
No, he's not.
Only Tony made his fortune. Batman was just born and he inherited it.
But the money has nothing to do with it. He left money to go learn how to fight. He left the money.
And he inherited Alfred. And he needed a sidekick. He had to go get Batman, Robin.
No. Forget about Robin. Robin was a little punk anyway. He just followed him. Robin followed him around. He's like a little lap dog.
Who Who wants a lap dog as a sidekick? You can't have a sidekick. You're a true tough guy. Like, you know, come on. I mean, the only thing wrong with Tony is he's got Gwyneth Paltrow as his girlfriend.
Who's knocking people out on the slopes.
Nikki, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Nikki.
Dude, don't take shots at my Gwyneth, man.
Why, you're a big Gwyneth fan?
Dude, Great Expectations, man. She's in Great Expectations, like the 90s version, man. That's my girl. Yeah. So she got a little blonde streak to her. Took somebody
you
out
ever see?
Place,
you ever see the Mr. Talented Mr. Ripley?
Oh, absolutely.
She's in that
and,
one too.
And wasn't she in? Where's the one where Nick Cage killed himself in Vegas, leaving Las Vegas when he's a drunk?
Oh yeah, yeah, that was a good movie.
Doesn't
Gwyneth
play the hooker? Yeah, she's the nice kimp with my girl Gwyneth. Listen, first of all. Truth is, I don't know about this, the DC Universe world. Didn't they have an Infinity World that solved all, that just settled this whole score? Like, we can't have superheroes in there. Like, there was, this has already been, like, established, right?
But yeah, no superheroes.
Yeah. Like, here's the thing. The committee, the tough guy committee, the NCAA tough guy committees, they're going to have to adjourn. They're going to have to get together first, call a meeting in the order, and figure out what the standard deviation rules are for this tournament, because we can't have it half-ass. Like, we gotta just really clarify the rules and regulations of this top 64.
I agree. I think you're right. Like, we did it. I was a little willy nilly with this sports food, but with the bad mother fathers.
Yeah, bad mother fathers.
I gotta be. We gotta be buttoned up.
Yeah.
The rules.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. And look, I know my main man two calls ago was ripping on Crime Jason. All right, now whether he cries or not, like the first scene of the first movie ever of Jason Bourne, he gets fished out of a body of water in the Middle East. You know, with slugs in his back, like he takes real hits. Like he's a real man. Like you
know, I agree.
He's a real guy. Yes. That can actually exist. And if you talk to your homie in the FBI, he might know a few guys. Who knows the two guys?
Yes.
Okay?
Yes. Yes.
But like, you know, like Johnny Wick and the Punisher and the Wrecker and all that, like, okay, they need their own category, because they'll walk in a room with 700 guns. Like, there's the old adage that even a broken clock is right twice a day. And my pop used to say in Italian, even an idiot gets lucky every once in a while. So if he's taking 3,000 rounds, like something's gotta hit the core, you know, the artery or something, you know, or the brain.
No. You know, Wick may be the exception, but I hear you.
I mean, Wick's got
I'm excited for the Wick. I got to tell you, I'm pumped up for
too.
Wick.
I'm a fan of Wick 1, okay? And he wears a $1,000 Italian suit, and he walks in a room and comes out like he looks better coming out of the room than when he goes
that's
in.
Cool.
I don't know how that happens.
That's cool.
Now, let me address
real quick. Gabriel says Gwyneth Paltrow's head is still in the box. As far as I'm concerned.
It is. Oh, man, dude, he stabbed me, man. He stabbed you, dog.
That's awesome. What's in the box? Gwyneth's in the box.
That was vicious. What's in the box? Now, Marsh, Tunis, like, if we take, you said, I think it was Monday, like, well, we got to get more out of Marsh. You can't have 7,000 strikeouts in the nine hole. I bet you if you take every starting nine hole hitter, they're either batting below the Mendoza line.
No. I don't need him hitting 350 and 30 bombs. I need him to actually put together at bats where he's not basically a K every single time. Like, God forbid we use the term move the runner any more days.
Listen, move the runner is something we've been saying in Philly.
He was 19th in baseball in strikeouts last year. That can't be. And he's not a power. He's not Schwarber. Schwarber was first in the league in strikeouts last year. But are we complaining? No, because he hit 40 bombs.
I agree. Like, you need to clean up you got to make that number a little bit smaller this year. I agree. The KO and the backward K.
And plus, he's fast, right? Like, the guy's got legs. So it's not like put the ball in play.
And by the way, with Turner leading off, I mean you're going to be able to manufacture runs. No, I'm with you. Good stuff, brother. T. Will, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. T. Will,
cause you got no business talking about Marvel. You're just getting new to all this.
So you got to defer to the Chunis, all right? He's trying to tell you something that's accurate. All right, first of all, VG.
Oh, you're another Batman lover. You love some Batman.
Martial arts trained, okay? So whether it was money, no money, Tony Stark has no training except for the suit. And his sidekick was War Machine.
Tony's brilliant.
All right?
His intellect is his weapon.
Tony Stark's sidekick.
Tony's intellect is his weapon.
With Batman and Robin, Iron Man had War Machine.
By the way, I'll take Gwyneth over Robin. Paltrow over Robin in a fight.
Why are you going to bring up something that's obvious?
That's your boy. Your boy. Your boy. That's your boy's sidekick.
No, that's not his sidekick.
That's
his sidekick is
Robin.
His
Tony's intellect greater than Batman's money and his wealth.
Oh, no, here you go with the money. It's not about the money. It's about more. Batman was martial arts trained, okay?
Stop. What do you mean if he does have martial arts? Right? That's how he learned how to fight.
Exactly. He's a finger painter.
Get out of here. Hey, you got to fall back on this one, Ed.
He's weak. No. In fact, I'm double down. You're out. Because I'm out of time. Love you, buddy. Everybody, you guys are the best. We love you. Stay tuned. The best show ever coming your way. We'll see you guys in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.